Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday, September 6, 2024. And all hell's breaking loose. Wait for this. Now get ready.
InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
In range, most important election in world history is 59 days, 14 hours, 59 minutes, 36 seconds out. Starting our attack run now. 135 days until the inauguration of President Trump. 135 days, 23 hours, 59 minutes, 22 seconds. I am your embattled, battle-hardened, moss-backed broadcaster, Alex Jones. Coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas. Broadcasting worldwide in defense of the Republic and Team Humanity. All right, I got really prepared for today's show. And to do this, I'm going to have to be extremely focused because I absolutely must cover every stinking thing on my desk. Let me give you a little prelude for folks that just joined us at the start of the transmission. We have massive evidence with basically all of the lone shooter operations that the FBI knows about it, protects it, just like we saw with the attempted Trump assassination, same MO, and that feds are all around these individuals protecting them. And I have a giant stack right here on that. Unbelievable. Massive research, decades of intel right here. There's that. There are the desperate Dems, because I wanted time to study this, so I didn't cover it yesterday, claiming that Benny Johnson, Tim Pool, all these other people are Russian operatives or something. Just $10 million got put into a company that was buying shows to put them on cable. I mean, it just and ad buys. I know the Russians were connected to it. And the feds are running around like they just caught the biggest thing on earth. The Democrats are spending billions in fake news, massive foreign money, Chi-Com money's pouring in. But oh no, the evil Benny Johnson and Tim Pool, they had their shows bought by a syndicator they had nothing to do with and then put it on TV. A culture show in Tim Pool's case. Wow, evil. I mean, Jesse Ventura's on a show on RT. Max Kaiser. But they didn't even were involved in selling their show to air on some other network. It's just crazy. So somebody could buy my show from a syndicator. We're free to air. They can just air it. And oh my God, some Russian company, you know, bought ads on this and bought a show and aired it. I mean, it's just crazy. We got the inside baseball on that. I had the feds repeatedly try to set me up with Russian money that was really just Department CIA money. And I just went to another branch of the FBI, gave them a dossier saying, I know you guys are doing this. Knock it off right now. And I'm got with a lawyer, one of the lawyers, Mark Mendoza, was involved as well, spearheading it. Maybe we should get him on. But Bob Barnes was there when this all happened. We're not going to give names or anything because, we'll leave it at that. But we may have to. But it was a bipartisan attack on yours truly. So I have been through this myself. And as Barnes said, he never got approached. Viva Fry never got approached for this because they would have smelled it. But it's not even smelling it. When you're putting your show out to be syndicated, people pick it up. It's ridiculous. It's like, we're on hundreds of radio stations. Do the Russians secretly own some radio station I'm on? I have no idea. I'm sure that out of 300-plus stations, I bet there's some Russian investment company. They're invested in real estate, everything, ad companies. I bet one of our affiliates is probably owned by Russian Americans. I don't know that. I'm just guessing. And they're probably patriots, but that matters. The media will just say they're Russians. We're all evil. So we've got that. We've got massive news on the Aurora situation and the Venezuelan gangs all over the country, as now the media hoax that none of that was happening with the Venezuelan gangs taking over apartment complexes, homes, robbing everything, killing people. Now it's all admitted and mass arrests have begun. So that blew up in their face. They ran another hoax against J.D. Vance saying mass shootings are a fact of life. He said they shouldn't be a fact of life. Another big hoax they got caught in. Incredible news in the economy. More fake jobs numbers that Biden put out, caught red-handed. Oh, their whole house of cards is coming down. Stay with us, my Paul Revere. We salute you. I salute every man, woman, and child out there listening, no matter what color your skin are, where you came from. If you love liberty and you love God and you want justice, You want freedom like I do. We are brothers and sisters in this fight together. Yeah, yes we do. All right. Let's get into it right now. I started doing this the first little segment. Law Station don't care of that. Let me just tell you what I got here, because I've gone through each and every one of these, and I've got more than 50 clips, and I've just, oh my gosh. We have a giant stack that I'll hit at the bottom of the hour on the shooting in Georgia, and boy, it doesn't look good, and it's got New World Order fingerprints all over it. And we caught them in a hoax against J.D. Vance and a bunch of other stuff. And you know they're getting this primed for the debate next Tuesday that we'll be covering between Kamala, the demonic, lobotomized, drunken hyena, and our embattled President 4547. This is such an important stack right here. You definitely don't want to miss this. This is intel. You're not going to get anywhere else. And then, I'm going to cover this first. For the last 6 months, really, we've seen countless corporate headlines, AP, Reuters, all of them, CNN. There are no Venezuelan gangs. There's no MS-13 gangs. There's no caravans. There's no nothing. There's no crime waves. The FBI is just suppressing all the crime statistics for 3.5 years. Never mind your house getting broken into, your neighbor getting carjacked, or all that. It's not happening. And then you see the weird crossover in the last 24 hours with AP, Reuters, The Hill. There are no Venezuelan gangs. The governor, it's a fantasy. And then boom, okay, there are gangs. It's horrible. They're murdering and killing and getting arrested and stealing. And they've taken over more apartment complexes in Houston and Dallas and Chicago and New York and Trenton and Portland and... They're everywhere. Oklahoma. Carjacking, stealing, murdering, heist, jewelry stores, sex slavery. They're caught with small children chained to beds being raped. It just hits the local news. But the point is, the wheels came off. Just like within hours this time, they went, J.D. Vance just said school shootings don't matter. Actually, he said they do matter and shouldn't be a fact of life. You know, school shootings shouldn't be a fact of life. We need to do something to stop them. My God, he said he didn't care. Did you hear? Funny they didn't show you a quote. That's AP. They are desperate, desperate devils. Then, big national scientific poll. Trust in doctors and hospitals plummets to all-time record low. Big stack on the poison shot news, GMO news, and more. Joe Biden came out in a speech yesterday and said, you know, some of the stimulus acts and things they've done really weren't for that. The Inflation Reduction Act was really about a $300+ billion carbon tax and boondoggle to his buddies, which we already knew, but there he is admitting it all. The 369 billion. Everybody's heard about the scam. And then I didn't cover this yesterday because, well, I should have. Got like 15 million views on Crowder's channel, and it's congratulations to them. I mean, they were dropping huge investigative reports once a month. Now it's like once a week. Devastating. Last month, 4 big ones I've seen. Congratulations to those guys up in Dallas. And they got the head spokesperson of public affairs, not just the spokesperson, the head of the Southern District of New York, that is the hands down next to D.C., probably more powerful. They're like twin dragon heads. D.C. and the District of New York, Southern District, are the most powerful. It's the one that prosecutes people all over the country, totally political. Their head of public affairs said it's totally illegal, a total scam, a total fraud, miscarriage of justice, that targeting Trump is about the election. Well, we don't need them to tell us that, but that just double confirms it. It's like a cop pulls somebody over for swerving or driving fast and hears somebody banging in the trunk. And the cop calls more cops. They pull guns on the guy, open the back. There's a raped woman tied up, bloody in the back, and the cops got him. He'll be convicted, but he walks over and says, when the guy's in handcuffs, so where'd you kidnap her? Why'd you do it? And he goes, well, I just wanted to kidnap her and rape her. Boom, you're done. You confessed. It's open and shut. Again, even if he says, I don't know what you're talking about. You got the woman in the back tied up. She's a witness. She can tell the story. But now we've got the perpetrator. And he admits he said it. He says, I was showing off to a girl. Well, even, oh, so you're a total liar. Come on, guys. I mean, we have Fannie Willis, and you've got Letitia James and all these Soros creatures saying, I'm running for office to put Trump in jail. He's a racist crackerhead. We got that. We've got new jobs numbers. Remember, it came out a month ago. They lied about 818,000 plus. It was right at 819,000, if you round up. Fake jobs didn't exist. Biggest one ever. They totally lied. Well, they just put out new numbers for the last 2 months, just because those were numbers from 2 months ago, but they released them a month later. So that was stuff going back 2 months ago and before the last 3.5 years. But now we just got the numbers for the next couple months. And, oh, they did it again. They lied again. Boy, that's really a surprise. But they're telling the truth more. Harris, Pelosi, Schumer, they've all come out and said we're going to legalize all the illegal aliens, give them all free stuff, big deal, $150,000 a piece, totally liberal. So in many levels, they're admitting, like, yeah, we brought that in for carbon taxes and to shut off all the other energy and give it to ourselves. We actually lied about the name of it. What we do to these dumb bastards, kind of like 2 weeks ago, Governor Patrick Bateman of California, also known as Gavin Newsom, American Psycho 2.0. You want a podcast? He said, yeah, they just totally illegal. They just appointed her. They just ignored all the voters. She didn't get one vote. Just, that's what I've been told to, you know, tell you it's normal, but it's not. Wow, okay. And I remember growing up watching James Bond movies and, you know, cartoons and stuff, or later when I'm with my kids, seeing stuff like The Incredibles, and the bad guy's got Mr. Incredible chained down, and he's like walking around bragging how he did it, monologuing. He goes, oh my gosh, I'm monologuing. And I always saw that as a kid, and I thought, because I'm not a criminal, but I thought, if I was about to kill my enemy or something's going on, I'm not going to sit there and monologue. I'm just going to get rid of him. But I guess I don't like killing people. If I had to, you know, kill my enemy and I was a supervillain, I would just, you know, never even look at him. I'd just say, you know, bullet in the back of the head. Always put one in the brain, but, and just get rid of it. Move on. It's like carrying out the trash. But not for them. They in real criminology, they love to monologue. And they love to tell you how they did it. And if you study psychopaths, the lower level ones that just kidnap people and kill them and stuff, they almost always, when they don't get caught, start writing letters to the police or clues or get more reckless. And that's really the point we've gotten to, where they're just parading around how they've done this to everybody. So we got Putin coming out saying he's endorsing Kamala Harris, and that's really what they do do, because they want weak leaders over here. They say Trump's really an unknown. So it's kind of tongue-in-cheek as a joke, but it's not. Because they know what they're going to get with Harris, which is a continuation of the deep state. They have no idea what Trump's going to do. They fear Trump. Continuing, we will also get into Kamala and some of her new communist announcements. If you thought price fixing and price controls and 75% capital gains tax is communist manifesto enough, no, now she wants to bring the death tax basically up to 100%. And we've got so much more. Also, she's in a new video saying she's going to create special laws for black people and other laws for every other group. That's the definition of unjust weights and measures and a criminal justice system that is criminal. And so that's just spectacular. We've got a bunch of transgender news and the rainbow cult's privileges. So that's just some of what's coming up today. That's about half of what I've got in my stack. So let's begin with the first installment that I just mentioned. Let's begin with, this is just a small smattering of what we have. I have articles from Oklahoma, Texas, Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, California, New Mexico, Colorado, a bunch of others. I mean, I've got them all right here, where there are just Venezuelan gangs doing the same thing, taking over private houses, robbing stores, shooting people, killing people, sex trafficking, feeding off the migrants, arrogantly running around, beating people up, just running around like mad dog maniacs, because that's how Venezuela is. And Now they're just up here with a bunch of people that aren't used to it. They're just enjoying themselves. And there's new videos of them coming to people's doors and saying, the apartment manager, when they took over a new one yesterday, they said, listen, we're going to kill you if you don't give us the keys to everything and let us go collect money from everybody. And if you're nice, we'll give you part of the money, but you work for us now. Classic stuff the Italian mob would do in, you know, New York or whatever. Hey, let me run your grocery store and I'll let you still have enough to live and, you know, hire my family, or somebody's going to burn it down. If that doesn't work, somebody's going to kill your son or daughter. How's that sound? So that's the kind of stuff you hear about, you know, in the olden times. Well, it's back with a vengeance. And the police for months said nothing's happening, and the governor said it's a fantasy. And again, even AP yesterday was still saying it doesn't exist. Nothing to see here. Move along. Well, now, all over the country, they've been arresting him for murder and attempted murder. Six got arrested yesterday. Four have already been charged in Colorado, but they couldn't get the police department to do it in Aurora and Denver, so now the sheriff's departments are doing it. Aurora police linked 10 people to Venezuelan gang amid furor, with six now in custody. That's the Denver Post. Now, this was out yesterday morning. And even Sink Uygur, the bestiality advocate of the Young Turks, I'm serious, folks. Even he came out and said, we need to stop lying about this. He was like, hey, we're not getting away with it. Stop. Got the video clip. Well, it didn't matter. AP still said nothing's happening. The governor came back out and said there is nothing. None of it exists. They're just on video saying, we come to your country to get you pigs. You are weak. Your homes are ours. You're women. We're going to rob you. You like it for you. Here's a photo of some of these guys. Overhead shot, please. We can pull this up in HD. ICE confirms to Fox News that all four of this other group, known as suspected Trinidagera, I don't know if I pronounced it right, gang members, arrested by police in Aurora, Colorado, in connection with a shooting attempted murder in July, are Venezuelan illegal aliens who were caught and released at the Texas border by the Biden administration. And can we get the HD version of this up, please? The digital version? Here's our little friends.
Say hello to my little friend.
And I put that up on Real Alex Jones on X if you want to see it. And it continues. Armed Venezuelan gangs terrorize oil industry workers in America's most productive oil fields in West and North Texas, robbing and stealing and everything else. But nothing's going on. Big article, local newscast, but you don't see it in the national news. Attorney letters warned Colorado officials of Venezuelan gang control at Aurora Apartments last year. Because the owners are like, we have gunpoint, we're being thrown out, they've taken over. And the police won't do anything, so they go get a law firm that sends letters to the city, and they go, there are no Venezuelan gangs. There are no Venezuelan gangs. That's the Denver Gazette. Meanwhile, AP says this is not happening. Everyone talking about Venezuela's gangs in Aurora. Here's what we know and what we don't. That's the Denver Post 2 days ago admitting it's going on in a huge report. But also still demonizing right-wingers and others that don't like it. But they admit it's happening. So people started asking yesterday, hey, the Denver Post is reporting this happening. What's going on with this? They're even arresting people. Meanwhile, here's Raw Story. Yesterday, police knocked down Trump-promoted claim that Venezuela gangs took over Colorado apartments. You have all the video. You have them bragging about it. You have it all going on. But no, Trump's lying. Police knocked down Trump-promoted claim that Venezuelan gangs took over Colorado apartments. Here's another one. London Independent. Police deny Venezuelan gang has taken over a rundown apartment complex in Denver suburb. They've taken over a bunch of them. Democrats, Colorado Dems, be like, no Venezuelan gangs here. The gang members were arrested by sheriffs, and there's video and all of that right there. Photos. So there's a sheriff's department finally did what the city wouldn't do. And I never played the clip a few days ago. We have the Aurora police saying to people being, hey, we've been kicked out of our apartments. And they're like, even if they've committed a murder or attempted murder, we can't stop them because this is a sanctuary city. Yeah, we'll actually play that clip first in a moment because I got a bunch of other clips. Let me continue. Here's the communist group, some of the Democratic Party, admitted communist. Interim Aurora police chief said gang members had not taken over and weren't collecting rent. and they sent a known communist group there to, quote, protect the gang members. And Sink Uger, the patron saint of bestiality, says local news in Colorado has absolutely confirmed Venezuelan gangs took over apartment buildings in Aurora, including a report by legal team hired by the property owners. So why are the local authorities ceding U.S. territory to foreign gangs? Why haven't the cops gone in already? Well, you got a totally open border, human trafficking little kids for sex slavery and slave labor. I mean, this is your party, big man. You know, I'd be really upset if they had like a donkey in sex slavery. Because he said if he was emperor of the earth, he would pleasure the animals, but only if they liked it. That's actually what he said. Think I'm joking? Look it up. Would you like to see a clip of it? Starts drooling. Police deny Venezuelan gangs taking over Denver suburbs complex, AP. That's yesterday, the 5th. My goodness, here's another one. Breaking, Denver law firm tasked with investigating an alleged gang takeover of Aurora apartment building reports the Venezuelan Tren de Aragua gang began its takeover in late 2023. Here they are in a new video saying, if you don't give us the keys and let us run the apartment complex to the apartment manager, we're going to kill you, kill you. It's so nice for you. We have a DHS whistleblower telling Dr. Phil what is very accurate numbers about the government bringing in these people that they know have been let out of the jails. Venezuela orders them to come here or they'll be re-imprisoned. Meanwhile, we have videos of Chuckie Schumer and Pelosi out again yesterday saying we're going to legalize them all, give them voter IDs, let them vote, and give them free goodies. Meanwhile, exclusive state and federal local governments are quietly preparing for civil unrest, martial law, and other black swan events, warns top security crisis manager. That's an important interview up on InfoWars.com. And there's a smattering of other latest news. Germany, machete attack on police station. He attacked the police inside the police station with a machete, but they were so politically correct, they just tasered him so he can go out and do it again. Hey, man, you're supposed to kill the citizens, not us. Come on. You're precious to us. We're not going to kill you, even though you're trying to kill us with a machete. We're just going to taser you, my poor little Islamic juicy. Belgium, two Moroccan migrants jailed for raping young man, making him scream, long live Morocco, while they filmed his rape. The police say the crime was them letting people know about it. Germany, Munich suspect who opened fire on police near Israeli consulate is an Austrian Islamicist. Oh, he's Austrian, uh-huh. Germany considers mimicking Britain with Rwanda scheme for deporting illegal immigrants. Oklahoma governor proposes employing migrants willing to work for low wages to fill critical job gaps. Oh, yeah, right. Boy, what a great conservative. Pope Francis, an Indonesian grand imam, called for interreligious action to fight climate change. That means open borders. Meanwhile, CNN torches Kamala for flip-flopping on Trump's border wall. Okay, I've got 5 clips I want to play when we come back. Then I'll get into the huge shooting news and the whole history of the FBI running these shooters. You're not supposed to talk about or look at. That's why the FBI honchoed and ran the suing of yours truly. Admitted on the stand. They ran the whole thing, organized it with the CIA. Boy, that's really sounds like a free country. That's coming up next segment. So, when we return, I'm going to finish with that. Get to those clips I mentioned. Because I want to show you what I'm saying. I don't want to just tell you. I want you to see the clips and the newscast and the guys at the door. You open the door, shove a gun in your face. We're going to kill you if you don't turn the apartment complex over to us. That's another one they just took over in Colorado. And the governor's like, the police chief's like, ain't nothing going on around here. Here comes the sheriff's department. Because, you know, if the city won't do its job, it reverts to the county and the sheriff, who actually has jurisdiction in the city. If the city, and then if the sheriff doesn't do their job and the mayor, then who comes in? The state. And then if the state doesn't do their job, they send in the feds. That's the federalist system. And if the feds get out of control, the states can get together and remove that government. It's checks and balances. But remember what happened a few years ago in Texas? They literally cut a third of the police, wouldn't let them respond to crime. They released a black guy that shot a bunch of people. He only wounded them on 6th Street. The guy was out 2 days later. Well, you're black. The Soros DA was an admitted communist. You know, you can be allowed out. A black teenager shot and killed a couple people up in, remember, in Fort Worth last 2 years ago. They just let him go 2 days later. So it's liberal. I mean, these are real cases. You think I'm joking? Okay. So the governor put the state police into Austin until they hired some of the police back and stopped being totally communist. Still horrible. But unfortunately, all the state police know how to do is write tickets. And so I had the pleasure of not being pulled over, but a couple times last decade, I got pulled over 3 times by the office. Most of the crew got pulled over. They were like, no front license plate, or you were going 3 miles over the speed limit. They would just check your ID. I'm like, come on, guys. Can you please go actually arrest some criminals? There's like crackheads running around the street a mile from here. I mean, my office is not in the fanciest area because we want a cheap square foot. In fact, it's in the jungle. You could say we're kind of like some areas right around here are kind of like south side of Chicago or Dallas. So whatever. That's how we get cheap square footage. But it's got to carry a gun around here. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with me. You do not want to miss all of this. It is ultra massive. Please spread the word. You are the Paul Revere's. Okay, I'm going to put bookends on the Venezuela developments. Venezuelan gangs pillaging, robbing, raping, taking over the country. Just at least 15 states I've gotten the news. Just absolutely running around like Tasmanian devils. They said they were coming here to do this, and they're doing it. They're like Viking raiders or something, or pillaging. And then I'm going to get into the big stack. Thought we should do a little bit of current news with the mass shooting and the same MO as all of these other cases. It makes a very interesting picture for you. Not hard to predict there'd be a mass shooting right before the debate. So Kamala can put out all her fake news, and now we see it coming into view. I knew they'd have some fake talking point. You will hear Tuesday night during the debate with Kamala and Trump. She'll go, how dare you, and whatever new fake voice she's got. How dare your VP say that mass shootings are just a way of life, just a fact of life, which she didn't say. It's the new all Mexicans are criminal thing. Not true, never said anything like it. They don't care. They still say it. Doesn't matter if even Snopes says it's fake news. They don't care. Just like I went and peed on kids' graves. Totally, no, nobody peed on them, but it doesn't matter. It just sounds good. Because, you know, well, I mean, certainly the New York Times wouldn't lie about that. So, I suppose they didn't say I had like a jackhammer or something destroying them, or, you know, Jones dug up children's bodies or something. I mean, just the sky's the limit. And instead of stopping after they've been caught lying, they just double down. So that's coming up. But let's go through some of these clips. This one I went to get 2 days ago. All these others are new. This is what the Aurora police, people are being thrown out of their apartments by armed gangs. And they say, listen, they could be wanted for murder. You know, I attempted murder. I let him go because this is a sanctuary city. And I remember Arde Saveda, the awesome police chief for many years, on my show saying, well, if illegal aliens, you know, migrants get caught committing a small crime, we don't arrest them because we want them to still come report to us other crime. Well, now it's attempted murder or extortion or kidnapping or commandeering buildings, hijacking structures. Piracy is what it is. Really, that's the word I'm looking for. The piratical behavior of the Venezuelans is they're up here engaged in pirate behavior. And the Democrats have given them a letter of marque to basically legally feed on us, and they'll just say it doesn't exist, like everything else. So here's the cop telling folks in the hallway how the cow ate the cabbage.
We'll grab this information and see what we can do, but this, you know, like I said, can you please collect the information?
He said that he's already illegal. He already said that he went to...
Okay, hold on. Let's back up a little bit. First off, we're a sanctuary city. Even if he is legal here, we cannot call ICE.
Okay, report him. But you still have to report that, right?
No, we don't. Because it's a sanctuary city. We do not report illegal, undocumented.
So you're going to let a person who went to prison, he committed a crime in America, who's illegal right now, you're going to let him go free right now?
That's exactly what I'm saying, because we're a sanctuary city. I've arrested a double homicide suspect in this city before and let him walk out the door because we're a sanctuary city. We're not going to call ICE to come pick him up and deport him.
He came to pick up $320,000 from your team or mine, grandmother and grandfather, and he's walking away freely right now, right? That's what I'm understanding right now.
I understand that, but you're asking me to call ICE or the...
I'm not asking you to call ICE. We're just asking you to take seriously that he's trying to repeat offend when he's already illegal.
He's repeating what he's already been doing. He says, I'm in Chinatown in New York. They pay for his...
And 800, it's over, actually, 1,000 towns and cities now, but the 100 largest cities are all sanctuary cities, and they won't even call ICE, and they won't cooperate with ICE. So there's the cop. They're saying, hey, you just robbed the whole building, hundreds of thousands of dollars. The cop says, hey, we just let somebody go that was a suspect of double homicide. See how it works? But now the sheriff's department has raided there because the city wouldn't do its job. The police chief just yesterday said there are no Venezuelans doing anything bad. And the U.S. military is up in New York City helping the illegals. So it just continues on from there. Now let's move on to Dr. Phil with the DHS whistleblower, who gives a conservative number of 15 million illegals, laying out the facts. This is all admitted, but here it is.
Venezuela, by the way, has the lowest murder rate ever right now. What does that tell you?
Yeah, all the murderers are gone.
They're here.
Yeah. So is it true that they're emptying prisons? I mean, is this Cuba all over again?
This is not a hearsay. There was a memo by DHS last year admitting that, in fact, they knew that Venezuela's government was emptying their prison and rehabilitation centers or drug centers, releasing them on purpose because they knew with instructions to make, if you were going to get out, you're going to make your way to the U.S. That is not, we're not making that up. That's true. It was reported on and DHS admitted that that was happening. And in fact, it has. El Tren de Aragua is heavily present in our country now.
Okay, so you're telling me that DHS has acknowledged that Venezuela, for example, is emptying their prisons and their rehabilitation centers with the understanding you get out if you leave here and go to the United States.
Yes.
And DHS has, in writing, said, we know that's happening. We know they're coming here. We're processing them in and have no idea where they are.
Correct.
How many people are we talking about?
Millions. And just Venezuela alone.
We're talking about in the last two or three years, we've had estimated how many people have come across the border.
My estimation, the official number, I think, is about to hit 10 million.
Yeah, it's about 10, 11 million. Yeah, that's the official.
But my personal opinion, I think we're about 15 to 18 million.
Okay. So that's a very conservative number, 15, 18. It's about 25, actually, from our Border Patrol sources. But that guy hadn't been in a few years. So, here is a Venezuelan gang member. This is at a new apartment complex threatening to kill the property manager in Aurora, Colorado, after being accused of child prostitution, according to a new bombshell report. This is CBS News. And we have the video. And the police chief saying there's nothing happening. And the sheriff's department did the right thing. That's what we're always seeing. The sheriffs are the way to go. They're not perfect, but they're always better because cities can get away with anything. And they generally are run by leftists. And the sheriff's departments are actually in charge of the entire county. The city is within it. And if they don't do their job, the sheriff can go to the governor and say, I'm moving in there. And in emergencies, they have to respond anyways, which they did. And that's they put on their military gear and their body armor, and they went in there and arrested these rats. And if one of them raises a gun, kill them! Kill them! Kill them! Kill them! Send them a message to get out of this damn country. And thank God we've got our Second Amendment. Blow their asses off. I've had enough of this crap. And if you don't know about Guatemala and Central America, places like Venezuela and South America, or many areas of Brazil, Brazil's just like us. The cities are hellholes. The people are Christian, hardworking in the countryside. They're just like us. And but it's been going on there a lot longer under communism most of the time. It's back and forth, and it's terrible. And they have street children that are just out there at age 10 under gangs' controls. They've been killing people since they're 11 or 12. They're in prison at 18, 20, and they're shipping them here. They're literally crapping all over us. I mean, you think the Cubans were a bad crime wave. That was a small percentage of them. And there were some bad criminals out of Cuba, but mainly they were just people the communists didn't like. This is the Cubans in the 80s look like sweethearts compared to this. So this is serious, folks. Here's the Venezuelan gang members threatening to kill the property manager. Here it is.
Says this is a picture of gang members breaking into a vacant apartment so they could move a Venezuelan family in and then collect rent. This is our business plan, one gang member told a housekeeper. If he, the property manager, doesn't like it, we'll fill him with bullets. The report authors called the gang's behavior brazen and further exhibits the suspected gang members' sense of comfort and control, consistent with their taking over the property and not fearing law enforcement or the property management. It was sent to Aurora officials on August 9th, with the investigators saying, the evidence we have reviewed indicates that gang members are engaging in flagrant trespass violations, assaults and battery, human trafficking, sexual abuse of minors, unlawful firearms possession, extortion, and other criminal activities, often targeting vulnerable Venezuelan and other immigrant populations. According to the law firm's report, the Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua has threatened to kill, and in certain instances has apparently actively attempted to kill, members of Whispering Pines Management. The report says a consultant for the property management company was severely beaten and stomped by gang members and was hospitalized. The alleged incident recorded by building cameras with screenshots attached to the letter. The report relies on a property manager who said that gang members allegedly stabbed a Whispering Pines resident for refusing to pay rent to the gang. He also told the investigators the takeover began last November. The report recounts that this summer, the gang approached the property manager and told him they would help him out in exchange for half of all the rent that he collected. The law firm that wrote the report called that an organized crime tactic. The gang members then allegedly took over vacant apartments.
All right, I'm going to stop right there. I've got a bunch more clips out of Dallas, out of Illinois, but I've got to get to the next news. Everybody knows about this now. So we want to be tomorrow's news today. We told you about this a year ago, specifically with the Venezuelans, but I'm going to move on now. Okay. Everybody ready? Overhead shot, please, right here. This is an exhaustive stack, but it's not a complete one. It was complete. We need an 18-wheeler of paperwork in here. Let me just start with the propaganda surrounding the shooting 2 days ago in North Georgia, north of Atlanta. And then we'll walk through the latest on that shooting, exactly as we predicted. And then we'll move into just a smattering of historical parallels to this. So, here's AP's headline yesterday. And they ran this for much of a day, looks like about 18 hours, and let Biden and Kamala Harris and all the Democrats run around and make speeches and put out tweets and statements. Did you hear J.D. Vance said he doesn't care about kids? He said it's just a fact of life that people get shot. And what he actually said is we've got to stop having it, I have the clip here, be a fact of life. So they reverse the meaning, deceptively put just, quote, fact of life. It'd be like if I said we've got to stop the increase in murders. We can't just accept it as a fact of life. And they went, oh, Jones says murders are a fact of life. That's not like this. This is exactly what they did. So here's the screenshot of what they've now removed. They didn't even do a correction. They just removed it. J.D. Vance says school shootings are a fact of life, calls for better security. You can bet your bottom Benjamin or your bottom nickel or penny that at the debate Tuesday night, she's going to have this fake quote. Moving on. Here's what they replaced it with. J.D. Vance says he laments that school shootings are a fact of life and says the U.S. needs to harden security to prevent more carnage like the shooting last week that left four dead in Georgia. And look into how they're all on serotonin reuptake inhibitors, how they're on the antidepressants, how the feds always know, how there's always warnings, how they're always protected. And look at Uvalde. He said for years he was going to kill everybody. Look at Cruz in the Parkland shooting in Florida. He was called the school shooter for years. Always saying he was going to kill everybody. So continuing, the fact of life is the latest hoax being spread by Kamala and Tim Walz. Here's the full clip showing the correct context. We'll play that clip. In fact, you guys have an 8-second clip? Get me from Libs of TikTok the whole clip. But we have it. Yeah, let's go ahead and play the clip with context now.
First of all, what happened in Georgia is just an awful tragedy. And I know we've got a lot of parents and a lot of grandparents in this room. I mean, I cannot imagine, you know, little kids so excited to go back to school. God love them. And they're at their first week back from the summer, and an absolute barbarian decides to open fire and take their lives and also a couple teachers. I don't like this. I don't like to admit this. I don't like that this is a fact of life. But if you are a psycho and you want to make headlines, you realize that our schools are soft targets. And we have got to bolster security at our schools so that a person who walks through the front door... We've got to bolster security so that if a psycho wants to walk through the front door and kill a bunch of children, they're not able to. And again, as a parent, do I want my kids' school to have additional security? No, of course I don't. I don't want my kids to go to school in a place where they feel like you've got to have additional security, but that is increasingly the reality that we live in.
Here's the problem, JD. They stood down for 76 minutes, mere feet away from the shooter as he killed people in Aurora, in Uvalde. And in all the other cases, they had big warnings ahead of time, just like this newest one in Georgia. I'll show you those articles and clips. So again, you have the same MO, the same signature, the same profile at every level, and they're being protected. I'm going to show you a bunch of examples here in a moment. And this time, they thought there were 3-4 shooters, locals said. It might have just been one. We don't know. We get lied to so much. And that he's at one end of the school, another end of the school, and the police are there. There's quite a few police at the school, giant school complex, whole bunch of grades. And they just call and wait for backup because police slow roll everything now. They've been turned into, in many cases, social workers. So you could put 100 cops there. Hell, 100 or more responded to Uvalde until an off-duty Border Patrol guy stormed in and killed the guy. Or it might still be going on today. Hell, you know. Surprised the Democrats aren't like shipping kids in. And the shooter, you know, the Satanist, SSRI head, devil worshiper type. They just truck kids in and go, here's more to kill. You know. That's what they did, 76 minutes. Then, of course, Tim Walz, the communist, tampon Tim, says this is pathetic. We can't quit our kids. They deserve better. He retweets Kamala Harris saying that J.D. Vance responds to deadly shooting in Georgia by saying school kids are just a fact of life. He said, I don't like the fact it's a fact of life. But that's how their lies work. Wow. Lies on top of lies on top of lies. This is a total lie that even the AP had to delete. Tim Walz's statement on Vance calling school shootings a fact of life. Got millions and millions of views on X alone. 2.5 million views, reposted everywhere, tens of millions of views conservatively. Is it that interesting? Okay, now let's get into what happened in Georgia and beyond. Because those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. Appalachian high school shooter on FBI radar for over a year. Campus threatened in phone calls that morning of the massacre. He reportedly told people for years he was planning to kill everybody. Turns out he's a big liberal, lefty, trendy. And the FBI did absolutely nothing. As usual, his father has been charged with murder. Georgia school shooting suspect on FBI radar since 2023 as possible threat after online remarks that he was going to shoot up the school. Remember the stand down in Butler, Pennsylvania? The shooter training at the law enforcement training facility? His phone IP addresses to the FBI headquarters. Here's the Georgia shooter suspect in custody, Colt Gray. They put out one of his baby pictures, not his new leftist picture. Of course, it turns out the female-to-male trans shooter hated Christians and wanted to kill children to hurt Jesus, but they told you that it was a right-winger did it for over a year. Father of accused Georgia shooter charged with 2 counts of second-degree murder, 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter, and 8 counts of cruelty to children, all directly connected with the actions of his son, allowing him to possess a weapon. Yeah, that's really bad. His son's going around to kill everybody. Should have been a mental institution. Suspected Georgia shooter was on the FBI radar. He'd been planning school shootings. They received anonymous tips. Here's the dad. Breaking father, Appalachian High School shooter, arrested on multiple charges, including second-degree murder. Now, let's look at some of the past cases here. Buffalo shooting. Retired federal agent may have advanced notice about shooter's plans, report says Fox News. He was friends with him and hanging out with him a lot before it for a year. Report that retired agent knew of top's plan has law enforcement cringing. I said 1 month before, I think they'll shoot up a black grocery store. It's not just, comes to me. It's on record. Guys, pull up Alex Jones predicts white supremacist shoot up black grocery store. Report that retired agent knew of top's plan has law enforcement cringing. WKBW-TV. Authorities investigating retired federal agent knew of Buffalo mass shooting plans in advance. FBI were told Sandy Hook shooter threatened to kill mom. He was reportedly visited by the FBI and the CIA. FBI got earlier tip about Georgia Springs gay bar shooter. FBI knew of Colorado shooting suspect Aldrich Day before 2021 arrest. James Holmes was among elite in neuroscience. He's the Aurora shooter, the Batman shooter, the Joker shooter. James Holmes was among elite neuroscience before Aurora Theater massacre in a secret DARPA-NASA program that his dad ran of machine brain cybernetic interface mind control. That's the Denver Post. Huge article. Told law enforcement he was under mind control. James Holmes recalls his state of mind before Colorado shooting. The Unabomber, the CIA and LSD, LA Times, Counterpunch, and others. MK Ultra. Theodore Kaczynski was MK Ultra. Death of the Unabomber returned spotlight to Harvard mind control. CIA. The shocking revelation of Ted Kaczynski's involvement in the CIA's sinister project MK Ultra. Daily Mail. MK Ultra program. Wikipedia. Pennsylvania gun club where would-be Trump assassin was member visited by FBI. Trump Shooter's Gun Club defends its culture. Attempted Trump assassin Thomas Crooks trained at same gun range used by DHS. Thomas Crooks trained at shooting range where they did their main training for federal agencies. His GPS tracked back. Oh, and I forgot that part. They've got dozens of pings on the cell phone to a known FBI agent who just so happens to pop up around mass shootings. Crooks trained at shooting range where multiple federal agencies reported training, including DHS, visited Club 43 times, including holidays, since last year. Fox News. What led James Holmes into the Aurora Theater shooting? New book suggests answers aren't likely. James Holmes' family tied to DARPA and mind control work. Maine police alerted veiled threats from Robert Card weeks before mass shooting. The signals were all there. Why did no one step in to stop the Maine shooter? Same thing with Uvalde. FBI report provides details about the Lewiston shooter. Everyone feared the worst about Robert Card. No one stopped him. Remember the guy that shot up the Baptist church a few years ago that got stopped by citizens? Turned out he was in a Pentagon mind control program. They released him. Father of Georgia school shooting suspect is arrested. Colorado Batman shooting James Holmes fixated by altered states of mind and government mind control program. Why DARPA banned the first ever person shooter video game? And it just goes on. That's just a small number of these guys, Harrison Kleibold, tied to it all. And it just goes on and on and on and on. And guys, put my tweet up I sent you. Here, I'll pull up on my phone. I sent it to you at the start of the show. I wanted it printed. You probably gave it to me. But I'll just pull it up. Dun, dun, dun. At Real Alex Jones on the pings. I'll pull up the story on the pings. Okay, I'm on the Alex Jones channel, Real Alex Jones, and I'll be able to show you that. And here it is. So overhead shot, please. And it's right there for you on the site where we have the link to all of that information. Here is overhead shot, please. GPS data reveals FBI special agent previously linked to multiple other shooters was within 1,000 feet of Georgia school shooter Colt Gray at least 11 separate occasions over a 14-month period. This is not a coincidence, says the poster. I don't know. It might be. He was training at that law enforcement training facility. And, of course, all the same MO again with these other folks. I'm at Crooks there, not the Georgia guy. Okay. We're almost out of time. Hour number two is coming up. I've got all this other news I haven't even hit yet that I mentioned and so much more. And Robert Barnes is joining us on the whole new fake Russiagate they've launched. It's coming after the Independent Free Press. This is really a big deal. We'll be covering it. We've got the details now. I didn't cover yesterday because I needed time to really study it. I have now. That's coming up. Please remember, I need your support to stay on air. Now is the most critical time, plus their incredible products. Go to our sponsor that has all the nanosilver products, the Next Level Foundational Energy, the Kaba Chill, the Top Brain, which is a stimulant, incredible nootropic. It's all there at drjonesnaturals.com. You don't spell out doctor, it's just drjonesnaturals.com. And when you go to drjonesnaturals.com, you will get incredible products that will enrich your life. drjonesnaturals.com, and it will support the broadcast and make what we do possible here. And at the same time, it are absolutely amazing products, ladies and gentlemen. So, drjonesnaturals.com. We can't do it without you. All the NanoSilver products and so much more at drjoesnackles.com. We can't stay on there without your help. Plus the great products. Take action now. I'm counting on you. We'll be right back. Make no mistake. I just got chills when I said it. I was thinking about the situation. Ooh, those are strong chills. The force is strong with this one. The big one's going down. Black swans, terror attacks, war, economic collapse. All that's in play. The biggest chills I ever got. Damn, I can barely do the show right now. Ooh, brought tears to my eyes. That's the spidey sense. That's the sword sting when the goblins are near. White hot, low and blue. Man. All right. We have Robert Barnes on this new Russiagate reboot that is really sinister. And you're like, we all know Russiagate's crap. They're not so much going after Trump with it this time. They're going after the independent media. And we know exactly how they did it because I've experienced it. Of course, I don't say this arrogantly like I'm John Gotti. Oh, you didn't get me, feds, because I've done nothing wrong. But they repeatedly tried to set me up with Russian money. They tried to send us sponsors that the feds had funded another intermediate company that didn't know what was going on. And then they come into a company that the Russians have already invested in, and then they invest money, and then they tell that person to invest it with you, and they don't understand what's happening because they're just ad agencies. And they're just like, okay, sure, we'll advertise. They'll run like regular advertisements, and they'll sponsor shows, car insurance, supplements, you name it. And then the feds can stand back and say, oh, you're getting funded by the Russians. Benny Johnson, you know, Tim Pool, give me a break. And sometimes they just come right to you and say, here's $3 million. It's from the Internet Research Agency. Just sign this trust agreement. And then you find out it's really the FBI. So, and I documented it, I'll sleep with that. Let's just say the feds weren't too pleased when I delivered all the information to them that I'd caught them by the wiener, by the short hairs. I'm just like, listen, leave me alone. I'm a red-blooded American. I understand you're not at the top. You're criminals. But just, you know, just this dog ain't playing your game. Let's go to this quick AI clip. Here it is.
ChatGPT, can you respond in the style of Alex Jones to concerns over globalism as a whole?
All right. Let's talk about globalism. This isn't some vague, distant threat. It's here, and it's happening right now. Globalism isn't just a political agenda. It's a coordinated effort by powerful elites,
these unelected bureaucrats who believe they know better than sovereign nations. And it's about centralizing control. This is about taking away the rights of everyday people, stripping away our freedoms, and consolidating power in the hands of a few globalist technocrats who don't care about your family, your community, or your country. The goal is to create a one-world government, a system where your individual rights, your national sovereignty, mean nothing. They use institutions like the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, and other shadowy organizations to push this agenda. They tell you it's all in the name of progress or sustainability. But behind the curtain, they're erasing borders, controlling economies, and surveilling every aspect of your life.
These are the same elites who think they should dictate how you live while they sit in their ivory towers, completely disconnected from reality.
Look at how they use crises, whether it's pandemics, financial collapses, or climate change. These events are manipulated or even manufactured to justify more control, more surveillance, more restrictions, more centralized governance. And the media, they're part of it. They normalize this agenda, downplaying the truth, calling you a conspiracy theorist if you dare question their narrative. This is a battle for our freedom. The fight against globalism isn't just political. It's about defending the very foundations of human liberty. They want to keep you dependent, keep you distracted, and most importantly, keep you controlled. We need to wake up, take action, and expose this tyranny before it's too late. That's what's really happening, folks.
It's time to stand up. Resist the globalists.
Wow. Chase, for people that just tuned in, what question again did you ask ChatGPT to get that answer?
I told ChatGPT to respond in the style of Alex Jones to the concerns over globalism.
You're listening to live, wild, teleprompter, globalist-free, talking point, free media. Baby, you're stuck in here with me. I watch the clips. I read the news. I interview the experts. I talk to you. And I say whatever the hell I want. Woo! And they don't like it. And guess what? I don't do any market research. I don't look into what you want or what you think. Because I already know you think just like me. I didn't need to see big, giant scientific polls came out the last few months. I knew one out today. That the confidence in mainline corporate medicine has plunged from 71.5% to 40.1% in just the last 4 years. I could have told you that the majority of people don't trust your ass. What do I say? It's 30-some percent still believe the government and the corporations are friends. And some still had a little extra, you know, confidence in the medical system because there are a lot of good doctors and nurses and practitioners and people. But the top is very bad. And I'm always coming up with a number of 30-something percent. Well, this is 40.1. Yeah. I don't need to read a poll. I go all over the country. And I talk to people. And I'd say most of these folks just don't want to tell a major pollster group that they hate the medical system. So I bet it's 25% actually in reality. They have studies on that. That's why Trump keeps winning, even though some of the polls say he's not that much ahead. Well, that's because people are scared to say, I'm supporting Trump. Hospital purgatory, confidence in healthcare plunges as criticism grows louder and larger. Hospital review. And what's their answer? Well, these COVID shots actually erase your immune system and make you sick. That's admitted. So we just want you to try to pressure parents to give their newborn baby a COVID shot and then two more by the time they're 9 months old. Yeah, I'm sure that baby having a heart attack or being brain damaged, that'll really make people love the medical system. I don't need to read a poll or a study to know. You'll be at 5% support pretty soon. And before the COVID shots rolled out, I was in Phoenix fighting where they were stealing the election, days after the election. Flew out there at the White House behest. And I come out of the Westin at like 7 a.m. There's a park right there, and I'm going to shoot some videos. The sun's coming up. A sculpture park right in front of the Westin in Phoenix. And I'm sitting out there while I make phone calls and stuff and shoot some different reports for about 45 minutes, drinking coffee. And I see a bus drive by. And it says, soon nanotech will be in the shots and cure all disease. This is before the shots roll out. A couple months. And then I'm out there about 30 minutes later, another bus. Bye. And it says, strokes and heart attacks are common in children. They're quite normal. And I went on air that day and I said, I'm seeing buses everywhere. And we later caught video of it. Because I'm like, get that. And it had already driven by. But later we're out the car window catching them again. We showed, look at this. And since then, you can just Canada, the UK, Australia, billboards everywhere. It's quite normal to have heart attacks. And there's TV ads, you know, oh, you didn't know you really been having heart attacks since you were a year old. But now you're 15 and you have a heart attack. But we've got drugs and surgery. You'll be okay. They know what they're doing. And once you learn what the propaganda is, I mean, I remember 15 years ago, suddenly I went to the mall a couple times a year, and there were just half the stores had women in burkas on the posters. Wasn't a woman in a bathing suit or a guy with a tennis racket or a guy with a football or a happy family out at the park with the clothes on from Banana Republic or whatever. Everywhere it was women in burkas. And I went, well, we're about to see just tons of Muslims brought in. And now you go to the mall and it's like half Muslims, the same mall, Barton Creek Mall. And women with full burkas, you go in a restaurant, they're eating spaghetti under it. See, 15 years ago, they got the signs up. And then 15 years later, they're everywhere. In fact, if you go to Barton Creek Mall on a Saturday or Sunday, it's like an Islamic festival. It's like gang members and Muslims everywhere. Go see for yourself. And I said then, watch, they're going to, I don't need to know. Whenever you, it's called ESG. The corporations order the other ones, the big ones, the BlackRocks order the companies, you're going to do this. And now it's out in the open and admitted. I mean, we knew 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that every hero was a woman. Women always kicked the guy's ass in every movie. And I said, Hollywood's giving an order out. And then it came out 15 years ago, 16 years ago, that for video games and movies, they gave them an order to always show women as smarter and better. And I had Paul Ehrlich, top depopulation globalist in 1979, on national TV. I played the clip probably 10 times, saying we're going to start next year making all the role models stupid and bad and all the fathers bad and make the family look bad so families break up and there's not as many children. Would you like to see him say it again? Or just go to X or YouTube. I mean, Paul Ehrlich talks about anti-family messages or anti-male messages. Paul Ehrlich, 1979 on TV. That should pull it up. Who's that guy he was on with? He was the guy that interviewed all the movie stars. What's that guy's name? He went on Jimmy Carson and said similar crap. So I'm like, okay, there's billboards and buses everywhere. And as soon as I got back to Austin, a month later, I saw him here. I'm like, okay, well, these shots definitely cause heart attacks and strokes. And then we got right around the same time, the same month, we get the CDC document on their own website. Adverse predictions from the shot will be heart attacks, myocarditis, blood clots, strokes, infertility, cancer. Yeah, I think that's the show. He's on another one, too. That's the interview. What's the name of it? I'm not going to play it again, but just put the name of the interview up so everybody can go see it that wants to. That's your homework, folks. You can read his books. I've read them, too. Population bomb, all of it. You guys found the video. I just want to know what the name of the video is so I can tell listeners the source of it. Thank you. Find it on X, find it on YouTube. Let me know. So the point is that that's where we are. You just need to minimize where you got the clip, or maybe it's already the computer. Maybe that's why you can't show me where. It's in the system. That's what I figured. Great job, crew. Well, then I better just play it. Well, let me think about it. I got guests coming up and all this news. So that's where we are. When they're rolling out something new, and they're about to do something, they pre-program it. So Biden steals the election, first press conference press secretary had. She said there's white supremacists everywhere. They're going to kill everyone. Trump supporters are terrorists. We need to arrest them all. I can play it again if you want. This is in late January 2021. And then he puts out a report in June the next year that white supremacists are everywhere. He defines it as anybody that questions lockdowns, open borders, checkpoints, forced shots. And then now they say the white supremacists are about to strike. And now you've seen some of that. So they tell you what they're going to do before they do it. So here we go. Trust in doctors and hospitals plummets. A new paper from the Journal of American Medicine analyzes survey respondents in the U.S. over the period of time right after COVID pandemic started in 2020 to 2024. So it's an exhaustive study. It reveals significant decline in trust in physicians and hospitals, dropping from 71.5 in April 2020 to 40.1 in January 2024. Lower trust levels were strongly associated with reduced likelihood in receiving COVID-19 vaccinations and boosters. Total shocker, right? And again, the same month in October, in Germany, in England, in Australia, in New Zealand, in Canada, in the U.S., and in Mexico, we confirmed. As soon as I saw that on buses, I went and Googled it and saw ads on TV saying it's quite normal to have heart attacks and strokes in children when it's not, and blood clots, because they wanted you to already hear that. So when it happened, well, that's quite normal. They wanted to break the ice with you. Kind of like a pedophile first talks to a kid, touches him, gives him presents, makes him feel secure, tells him little secrets. Hey, we've got a special relationship. So that's what they do. And it's the same thing. And it's all premeditated and so damn evil. Now, is the average doctor in on this? No. But when Klaus Schwab goes, a cyber attack will make COVID lockdowns look like a minor inconvenience. He's telling you what's coming. So he's the hero that predicted it when it happens. So I've got so much here. Let me, I'm just trying to pick which first. It's not lack of news. It's too much news. I meant to get to this yesterday, but I want to comment on it now because now we know more. They've now responded. Last week, Crowder gets the undercover video of the UN official, also one of the head of their legal department in public affairs, saying 99% of our work's pure crap. Everybody hates us. We're involved in all this horrible behavior. We're so scared of Trump, we think he'll abolish the UN. He comes out the next day and says, I was just joking, and the UN officially responds. Well, now they get the head of public affairs, not even a spokesperson, the head of public affairs for arguably the most powerful arm of the DOJ, the Southern District of New York. It's either that or D.C. They're both. You can argue who's the most powerful and who's the most corrupt. But they're like, you know, who's more powerful, Godzilla or Megalon? I mean, it just comes down to, you know, comes down to that. So here we are. And so they have the head of public affairs saying the persecution of Trump is purely political and it's a miscarriage of justice. Now, we already all know that. The people that persecuted him ran on persecuting him and said they would. I'm running to put him in prison. We're going to find something, said Letitia James. And I'm going to get the NRA and I'm going to get Trump and I'm going to get everybody, and they are. Now, it's a 13-minute report. I'm not going to get to the whole thing. I'm going to play a few minutes of it. It's already out there. It's already gone viral. But it's important to understand that they've now responded. And he said, I was just showing off to a girl. Oh, kind of like they were doing a child trafficking investigation in D.C. and just happened in their investigation to run into this CIA FBI operative, former FBI, now CIA, who talked about the operation about setting me up in the media and trying to take me off the air. And, you know, that's what you do. It's funny, when you do these sex pervert investigations or potential pervert, you just tend to run into other stuff. That's how they found that. Well, and the Crowder's people they work with found that. That was kind of like a little table scrap they gave me of the stuff they have. Now, the new one isn't the UN admitting they're a total fraud. It's the head of public relations, high level. That's like the fourth most powerful position. I looked it up in the District of Southern New York. Just saying, yeah, it's total fraud. Here it is.
You're stacking charges and like rearranging things just to make it fit a case. Make the cases nonsense. It's a perversion of justice.
To make him a convict, a convicted felon. It affects his candidacy if he's a convicted felon.
It's a travesty of justice, a mockery of justice.
Let me be clear about something on the outset. The person you'll be watching today is not the bad guy here. Unwitting whistleblower? Yeah. Nicholas Biasi is the chief of public affairs for the Department of Justice's Southern District of New York. Something you may be familiar with, and the most prominent federal trial court in America.
Those felonies did nothing to stop Trump from running.
No, in fact, they made him more relevant.
Did that backfire?
Sure did.
And the whole thing is disgusting. They're just out to get him.
And that's why, like, the surging of the police. You know, it's a perversion of justice. He was stacking charges and rearranging things just to make it fit a case. No, to be honest with you, I think the case is nonsense.
State levels are wild west. They're like idiots. They don't care. They're all political. So, yeah. This guy's probably going to try to lock him up. And there is going to be, it's going to be ugly. They're so obsessed with getting here.
All right. The full report's up on Infowars.com, LadderWithCrowder.com. It's on Real Alex Jones on X. Want to see the whole thing? You know, the audio is decent, but really not good for AM radio. We're on a lot of AM and FM stations, so I'm going to stop there. But he just goes on and on because he's not a crook. And he goes, these people are idiots. It's the Wild Wild West. They're just making stuff up. They change the cases in the middle of it. It's all double jeopardy. It's all a fraud. It's incredible. So moving on from that, top Manhattan U.S. Attorney's Office spokesman blasts D.A. Bragg over Trump prosecution and secret recording. The case is nonsense. Politically motivated. They're a bunch of idiots. Because he goes, it's going to get ugly. They're not going to get away with it, folks. It's ridiculous. Trump runs his businesses so clean, it's redonkulous. Trump is Mr. Clean, ladies and gentlemen. And so am I, by the way. I mean, I don't try to be a Boy Scout. I just am. Except in the past, in the liquor department and the woman department. And I've just admitted who I am. And I did abortions, you know, when I was a teenager, and I repented of it, and God's forgiven me, and I'm still feel terrible about it. But that's my crimes. That's what I do wrong. I straight shoot, and so does Trump. And they just can't stand it. Meanwhile, we've got this clip. Biden administration admits himself that Inflation Reduction Act was wrongly named. Should have named it what it was, a giant carbon tax power grab. $369 billion smackers, clams, shimolies, greenbacks, given to a select buddies like the head of the Department of Energy, who had a secret email and lied about getting massive amounts of money herself from these contracts. The solar panels, all of this crap that doesn't work, that's nothing compared to coal or natural gas. And now they've got TV ads everywhere with people sitting around tables going, I love nuclear. Yeah, it's really good. We all need more nuclear. Yeah, we need nuclear like we need a cancer. They never run the damn nuclear plants right, folks. There are constant disasters. Every damn one of them is leaking. The new ones are just as dangerous. They're going to build 20 little ones for every big one. And the chances of problems are even bigger. And then all, oh my God, but I'm digressing. Here, but now it's like the liberal thing. I'm a Democrat. I love World War III and I love nuclear power. But I hate that carbon dioxide plants breathe, that naughty, naughty gas. All right, let's go to Biden.
My investments, that through my investments, the most significant climate change law ever. And by the way, it is a $369 billion bill. It's called the we should have named it what it was. But at any rate.
All right. So there he is. Let me now. Let me get the pooty poot stuff out of the way. That's what W. Bush called him. And then we will drill into the fake job numbers and a bunch of huge economic news. I'm not talking about the fake job numbers a month ago, the 818,000 plus fake jobs that they knew and lied about. So the worst jobs since the Depression. That was for the last year before. Now we've gotten the next 2 months. You know, wait, you said it was from a month ago. Well, the numbers only go back to 2 months ago. So then we got the next month's numbers. It's always a month behind, and they faked those to a massive number. In fact, the rate of faking was as big or bigger for per capita month. So we've got that coming up and a bunch of other economic news. But let's play this clip. This is Putin says he picks Kamala Harris as who the Russians support. And you can say this is a joke, tongue-in-cheek. They're all laughing, but it turns out Biden was on the Russian payroll, and so was his son, and because they're vending machines. I wouldn't even call him a Russian agent. He's mainly a Chi-Com agent. Think of Biden like a NASCAR, and it's got all these sponsor stickers on it, but the Russians are like a little sticker on the door. But the globalist and BlackRock are on the roof, and the thing on the hood, the big sponsor, is CCP. We should create a Biden NASCAR. Can one of the graphics people do that? And I want like ADL, Soros, you know, on one door, and NAMBLA is a little sticker on another door, and Planned Parenthood is another sticker. But the one on the roof needs to be BlackRock Deep State, and then the one on the hood needs to say CCP and a picture of Xi Jinping. Can we create that? Or maybe Biden in a NASCAR outfit, and it says CCP right here, and his head's turned, the helmet says Deep State. And then on his arm patch, it says BlackRock. He can be wearing kind of a cod piece that says NAMBLA. You know, we can have a ADL on his ass. Maybe on his legs, you know, have something like open borders or something, child trafficking. But because you need to see it that way. That's how it is with Biden. Actual, you know, just vending machine. And that's how the Russians see these guys. And you know, we need to put on Biden, maybe on his stomach, Russian Federation, or maybe Putin's face. Let's go ahead and roll it.
That if we can name a favorite candidate, it used to be Joe Biden, but now he is not participating in the election campaign, and he recommended to all his allies to support Ms. Harris. So that is what we are going to do. So it was, well, he said that we should, that is why we should also do that. Well, she's laughing. Her laugh is so fascinating. It means that everything is good, and if everything is good, it means that, for instance, if we're speaking about Joe Biden, there are so many sanctions against Russia introduced, and if everything is good with Ms. Harris, maybe she'll refrain herself from such measures, or maybe she'll change them. So in the end, it will be the choice of the U.S. people, and we will respect this choice.
That's a very complex thing. It's a joke at one level because obviously they hate him, but they actually are by him because you can. All right, coming up, the economic news. I've got a bunch of military news. I've got more on the health front that's incredible. And central bank digital currency news as well. And then next hour, we're doing the deep dive on Russiagate 2.0 and why it's even more dangerous than last time with Robert Barnes coming up. Please stay with us. You're the Paul Revere. Share the live links. Tell folks about the local station. Please get new listeners. That's how we win. All right, about 30 seconds ago, and I'm getting the article printed right now. It's going to go on screen. Massive, very important news just broke. Judge delays Trump's sentencing until after November 26, after Election Day. They've been making noises in his conviction in the kangaroo criminal trial, which we now have the head of the New York Southern District where the case was brought saying it's a total fraud, politically targeted, and a giant scam. And the word is, I was already hearing this was going to happen from my sources. I made some phone calls about this yesterday, that they were, because of the Crowder investigation team getting the head of the Southern District of New York of public relations admitting it's a total fraud on a secret video, that this was probably going to happen. And I had a caller last Friday, and I haven't done it yet because I ended up writing down like 20 pages of notes. They're all over the place. Here's just two pages I wrote the other day. I've got to get them all together. I'm going to bite the bullet, and I'm going to guarantee by Monday's show, I'll probably do it Monday, maybe sooner, I'm going to do a solution show. But I was just thinking that 2 days ago. That's why I keep waiting. What is the solution? The solution, the biggest one, is getting right with God, of course, but and deciding which side you're on, deciding to take action, being informed, and personally getting ready, physically, spiritually. But then these investigative teams going out, and anybody can go to a bar where politicians and Democrats go, and they're just going to be bragging about their criminal takeover right in front of you. Or others will say they hate it. Bring the article in. Thank you. So that's going to always just bring them on in. So that's where we are. And thank you. And that's what's happening. And so it's Project Veritas, even though they did horrible things to O'Keefe, is still doing some good work. O'Keefe's knocking it out of the park. Tucker, a bunch of other groups we've had on. The fabulous folks over at Stephen Crowder, who I love to death. This is a big deal. Now, our next guest will be with us about 15 minutes the next hour, and then Robert Barnes was incredibly important. Please stay with us for this, or if you even have to leave, tune back into the rebroadcast later or the restreams, or we'll archive it by 3 or 4 o'clock today at band.video and Real Alex Jones, because this new Russiagate is serious, and it gives us the blueprint of the next attack. Okay, this is their next attack on free speech, on free press, claiming we're all Russian agents. This is really big. But judge delays Trump's sentencing until November 26th after Election Day. In a ruling today, the judge, Merchan, cited the unique time frame this matter currently finds itself in and rescheduled the sentencing for November 26th. He has previously planned to hand down Mr. Trump's punishment on September 18th, just 7 weeks before Election Day. Mr. Trump will face off against Vice President Kamala Harris for the presidency. This is not a decision this court makes lightly, but in the decision which this court viewed best advice from the interest of justices, said the judge, wrote in a four-page decision which noted that this matter is one that stands alone in a unique place in this nation's history. So that is an absolutely huge, huge deal. And you can bet your bottom nickel that the Steven Crowder report with his team breaking did this because they had the troops and the and Rikers ready and the police, and our intel was that he was going to sentence him to at least a year in prison. This is the stuff of victory. This is the stuff of game changing. I can't tell you 4 months ago what that undercover report with the FBI, CIA, admitting they set me up with Sandy Hook and ran the fraudulent hearings, what that did throughout the system, what that did to Elon Musk's view of me, and I'm going to leave that alone, what that did to just so many organizations and groups that were still not sure because they bought the chili from the globalist. They drank the Kool-Aid partially. So I am so thankful for these investigative units. And I'm so thankful to Crowder that behind the scenes is funding a bunch of groups. By the way, I know Crowder. You know that guy lives very modestly. He's a huge talk show. He's one of the biggest. That lives like a lower middle class guy. He puts it all in. I know. I work with him. He's putting 98% of his money into the fight. And I'm going to say this right now. I need money to fight these people. We are delivering and magnifying and amplifying all these other great people. I'm not in competition with them. I've been doing this 30 years. Back then, hosts were all against each other. It was stupid. I did trailblaze saying, let's stop this. We're not in competition with each other. We're in competition with the New World Order. But I'm not sponsored by big money or, you know, the globalist. I'm sponsored by you. And it's such a critical decision in this fight to go, man, I should really support Alex Jones. I should really support President Trump. I should really support Steven Crowder. I should really support people that time and time again, I mean, they first released and forced the whole release of the trans manifesto they blamed on right-wingers that went and shot everybody up and the little kids in Tennessee. So support James O'Keefe. But I'm telling you, InfoWars is the magnifier. We're like the big amplifier. Guys playing a guitar, we plug it in. And so many times, we'll get a story that's not getting picked up by somebody else and boost it over, not just our story. So we are of great value to everybody. We're in this together. So I need you to commit to support our sponsors, plus they're the best. And I need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com. Everybody needs a gravity-fed water filter. Stainless steel system cuts out thousands of chemicals and things at non-detectable levels or completely. They say it's non-detectable is the term you use. These big spectrometers can't find anything. You shouldn't be drinking any well water, tap water. Almost everything's contaminated. We have the best unit, the Alexa Pure, at the lowest price. There are three or four other companies that sell stuff just as highly rated, but they sell it for double the price on average. InfoWarsStore.com. Get the InfoWars MD CBD gummies and 1,000 milligram liquid tincture. It's incredible. The other InfoWars MD line. Get the nitric boost to clean out your blood and your cardiovascular system. You've heard Dr. Vermicka tell about how important it is. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. Or call toll-free, 888-253-3139. And don't forget our great sponsor, my dad's company, key to keeping us on air, funding this operation, and whatever they do to InfoWars, being a sponsor in the future. That's a critical place to spend your money, plus the products are incredible, the nano silver, the toothpaste, all of it. It's all game-changing. DrJonesNaturals.com. We'll put it on screen. DrJonesNaturals.com. And there's so many big specials going. Next Level Foundational Energy is not a stimulant, but it has that effect with no letdown. I want it right now. When I forget to take it, I'm not like this. It's methylfolate and a bunch of other key compounds that go right in the cells. The breakdown of folic acid. Most people can't absorb folic acid properly, especially white people and Asians. And it just supercharges you. Next Level Foundational Energy, about to sell out. DrJonesNaturals.com. Thank you for your consideration and support. Now, for the next 40 minutes, one of my favorite guests, Dr. Kirk Elliott, economist and theologian. I've known about him for 25 years, big with WorldNet Daily, you name it. Focus on the family, on their board, all of that. In the past, he is dead on about the economy. And I've been so busy, we haven't done it. I've told the crew, go back with him on the last 10, 11 months and get predictions with the dates, because it is a big job. And then show, as he says it, gold and silver doing a little bit better or better than he even said, but right on the dates he said about local bank failures, regional bank failures, industry needing silver, all of it has been tracking basically exactly as he says, except a little bit better than he said, because he's being conservative to be right. Like a good doctor will under promise, over deliver. So we privately talk, and what he said to me privately is just dead on. So he's wrong because it's better than he said, but it's following the trend, just like he said. And he is a sponsor, but I want him on about the breaking news. I just called him an hour ago. And he works from 7 in the morning till about 8 at night. He said, yeah, I can squeeze it in because I wanted to get him on about these new economic developments. Let's play one of these clips. But you need to go there if you want silver and gold. He'll tell you silver's still the thing. It still is going to outperform gold for now because gold hasn't gone up precipitously as much as silver, though it's gone up a lot. And that goes to the fact there's less silver than gold. The big institutions are buying gold. The general public's buying silver. And they admit there's silver shortages now. Just as he's predicted 10 months ago here on the show, 11 months ago. You need to go to KEPM.com/gold. And then he knows it came from us, so he can up his sponsorship. KEPM.com/gold or call 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900. And if you don't get his silver that is at wholesale, spots out of the ground, nobody can give you spot out of the ground unless you own a silver mine. It's every day you can look at the prices of it. You're getting it from him. You know you're getting wholesale, and he lets you sell it back for zero. No big company does that. So you can sell back your silver when gold starts exploding, which is already starting to do, and then buy basically free gold with that, just with your profit. So this is what we're talking about here. You need to take action now, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3000. To me, this is a no-brainer. This is the closest thing to a sure thing there is. I don't feel bad that the enemies ran me to ground in an amount of money because I don't even care about that. I just keep the operation going. But if I had money, I would be all in on silver, 100%. And I'm telling family, a year ago, I said, get into silver, and have some family that did. And boy, are they pleased. So This is the surest thing out there in my view, KEPM.com/gold. But we can't make you call the number. We can't make you get a free consultation. We can't make you roll over that IRA. We can't make you make the clearest, best move. You could say, I'm going to go for a hike at night. There's a field by your house where there's no potholes or problems and you got a flashlight. Or are you going to go climb up the mountain in the back of your house or the field? No, you don't climb the mountain at night. So not getting silver and gold would be like taking a walk at night without a flashlight up a mountain. Instead of walking into a field, is it a sure thing to walk out in the field? No, maybe a meteorite comes down out of the sky and kills you, or maybe a plane crashes on you, one out of a trillion. The point is, it's a lot safer than the unknown country of the mountain at night. That's kind of my weird analogy. It's like, you're outfitting to go prospecting in Alaska in the winter. You need a coat, don't you? Or would you rather buy a swimsuit? This is the no-brainer, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900, and I'm going to stop plugging. He didn't even come on the plug, but I'm doing it. He's a great sponsor. We wouldn't be on air right now without him, and we're just blessed to have the top silver broker in North America, probably in the world, sells to private citizens. We are just so blessed to have him at our fingertips. So let's play this clip. This is CNBC. Today, breaking another jobs report, big revision down to the prior 2 months. That's on top of the 18 months before that, them lying about 818,000 jobs. And so just the last few months, they told another whopper of a gigantor lie. Here it is.
Should be coming across any second now. Let me check the BLS. There it is. 142,000 versus July, which revised down to from 289,000 from 114,000. June, big revision to 118 from 179. I cannot do the math. Somebody do 11 and 14 for me. That's 25,000 for the July revision. And it looks like 61,000. So what's 25 and 61 is 87 or 86, is that right? So a big revision down for the prior 2 months. I'm looking at the unemployment rate. It did tick down to 4.2% from 4.3%.
So it's all cooked. And then they lie about the last numbers, then put out new lies. And then comes out later, that was a lie. They tell new lies, and then the same thing is repeated over and over again. Kind of like them saying, did you hear Vance came out and said he didn't care about kids getting shot? And it's just a fact of life. He said, it's terrible. We got to stop it. It's horrible. I hate the fact it's become a fact of life. We got to stop that. He said the complete opposite. AP lied about it. Kirk Elliott, they're getting desperate.
I mean, when I see these numbers come out, Alex, it's not that number that I look at. I look at the revision. Because every single time on almost every single number, whether it's GDP numbers, employment numbers, unemployment rate, new jobs, you always get this story of like, wow, We've exceeded expectations. Isn't Bidenomics amazing, right? And at the same day, they actually post the revisions from 30 days prior, which are always way worse than expected. It's like, so this is what this gentleman on that news program just said, right? So, but here, the numbers that non-farm payroll numbers that just came out, they didn't exceed expectations. They weren't that good, right? So they were up 142,000, but they were expecting 161. So they didn't meet expectations. But what were the revisions, Alex? So the revisions from last month were down 25,000. From the month before in June, it was down 61,000. That's 85,000 jobs that actually were below, not the exceeded expectations garbage that we hear. So the reality of the world that we live in is people who are watching this fake news and watching these commentaries and all this stuff on financial news networks, they respond to sound bites, right? They respond to a 30-second clip that says, wow, the economy is so great under Biden. And so therefore they invest and they think that the future is going to be great and everything like that. But it's not, Alex. It's not. So why is this important right now, today? Well, because September 17th and 18th, the Fed is meeting, and they've been telling us for a while since the Jackson Hole meeting last month where the Fed met, they're going to lower interest rates. Well, they're going to lower interest rates probably 50 basis points or 0.5% was the expectation. Now, after these numbers today, there was some mixed messages and they don't know what to think. So maybe it's only going to come down 0.25%. Well, this is problematic, right, for the markets, because that means if when rates come down, what happens? People have more money to spend. So the markets were expecting 0.5% reduction in the rates coming September. Now the expectation is maybe it's only going to come down 0.25%, right? So people are thinking, oof, we're not going to have as much money to spend. So this is why the stock market today is down over 300 points, the Dow. This is why gold and silver are down a little bit today, which is actually a huge buying opportunity, right? Because when you look at these things, and what happened on Monday, after some bad economic news of warehouse numbers and manufacturing numbers were way lower than expected, the Dow is down 600 points. So down 600 points on Monday, down over 300 points already today, based on what? Bad economic data. They're fearing an economic slowdown. People are. Hedge funds are. Banks are. And when you have economic slowdown, people aren't going to spend money. So you know who else, Alex, is thinking that there's going to be economic slowdown? Warren Buffett, right? So he's been selling Bank of America shares, which it was the second largest holding at Berkshire Hathaway, almost every single trading session for the last 9. But since July, he's dumped $7 billion. $7 billion.
That's right. You were on 2 weeks ago. It was $5 billion. Now it's $7 billion.
Now it's seven. He just did another $800 million yesterday. And so why? If he actually thought that the economy was strong and the bank was going to be successful and they were going to make money hand over fist, he's a smart investor. He would hold on to it. In fact, he would be buying more.
And let's be clear. I'm not an economist like you, but they have terms for this. He's selling as fast as he can without fully tanking the market. So he's watching it very carefully. And same thing with tech stocks. He's dumping that stuff as fast as he can without fully tanking things.
I know. It's so he's dumping it like yesterday's trash. And why, though? Why is he doing that? Over the last last Friday, he dumped like another almost $1 billion worth of Bank of America, and the stock market came down 600 points on Monday, the day next day. Yesterday, he dumps $800 million worth of Bank of America stocks, and now the market's collapsed today. How is he always a day ahead, right? How is he? It's because I mean, think he knows.
Yeah, well, he's got the inside knowledge. He's part of the military-industrial complex. And let me show you this headline. This is really an indicator. Dollar store stocks are cratering. Dollar store stocks are cratering, and pundits can't agree why. Well, because the numbers are coming out, the real numbers, the economy stinks.
Yeah, it absolutely stinks. It's absolutely terrible, right? And you start to look at why it is so incredibly important. I see that Kamalanomics on your stack there. It's like, okay, if Trump doesn't win, America's absolutely toast. Because like what we talked about on the last show, Kamala's plan for America is tax the living garbage out of everybody, right? Because she wants a 25% unrealized capital gains tax, 44.6% capital gains tax. That's 70%. And how in the world is it fair to tax somebody? Let me tell you a story of how this would impact somebody. Let's just say, Alex, that your mother or grandmother, right, bought a house like 40 years ago for $50,000. And today it's worth $500,000, you know, decades later. And so then here comes Kamala with her stupid unrealized capital gains tax of 25%. Well, it's like, man, the capital gain on that was $425,000. At least that's the growth. It's not really a capital gain. It's growth. So what is she going to have to pay? She's going to have to pay over $100,000 in an unrealized capital gain. And then your poor mom or grandma says, I can't afford that. I don't have any money.
Let me elaborate on that. My dad was never rich, but he was well-to-do, upper middle class. The globalists sued him because he was in business with me and stuff, just as a pure harassment, trying to get me to agree to not have free speech. And, they met with us at these different mediations and said, just stop defending the Second Amendment and other things. And I said, oh, what are those? Well, let's have agreed to this. We'll see. And I was just seeing what they'd say. I said, hell no, never. My dad basically has no money now. He owns a couple of dental offices in South Austin 30-something years ago when I was still in high school. We lived in North Austin. He was driving down a street in South Austin in kind of a lower middle class neighborhood, but it's a nice area, pretty, a lot of big trees and stuff. He saw a 4-acre piece of property for $82,000. He just bought it, boom, it had an old farmhouse on it, an old blacksmith thing, and it had been the center of a farm when going back over 100 years. And he later built another house on it, stuff like that. He bought it for $87,000. He's been offered millions and millions. There was like $5 million last time I heard, to build a condo on it because they're building high rises. It's an area where they're doing that. Well, my dad doesn't want to do that. He doesn't have money to go buy another house. But still, his property taxes go up and up and up and are killing him, where he may not in the future be able to keep that house that we all love and the property. Shoot BB guns there, everything. It's wonderful. Play frisbee. You got to come over to the house sometime when you're here. But that's an example. But if they do this capital gains things they want, unrealized, they'll make my dad sell his property because it has all that capital gains. And then they have the Krasnicki brothers and others running around saying, this is only on people making $100 million a year. That's a damn lie, and you just explained it.
Yeah. I mean, these stories are ridiculous when you play themselves out, because if you're in the story, if your mom or your grandma had to sell it and pay $125,000, she doesn't have it, so now she has to sell the property, and then she realized 44.6%. That tax, Alex, is 70%. You know what that's worse than? That's worse than Russia. Right? It's like, wow. Oh my word. We've
only France. Only France has that rate.
Ah, it's just so bad, brother. It's just insane, these woke policies that are coming at us from all fronts, right? But when you think about it, we've actually got a problem where you look at the unemployment numbers, the slowdown of America, the slowdown of the economy that we were talking about. There was this research paper that I was reading yesterday. Last week alone, 28.4% of all of America searched for a job. Like, what? One out of every four people in America was looking for a job? So what could be the reasons for that? A, they want a better job because they're stinks and they're not making enough money. B, they don't have a job. Or C, it's the new trend in America where the alarming number of people that have to have two full-time jobs just to survive is on the increase. It's like, two full-time jobs, Alex, there's nothing left. There's no time.
I've got a bunch of family in East Texas that ranch and farm on full military army pensions. They're all army. We're talking 30, 35 years army, and we're talking non-commissioned officers and officers. And they've all got jobs on top of that. So they're up at 4 a.m. and going to sleep at you know, 10 p.m. They get home at 8. And even on, like, Thanksgiving, we'll go down there and, like, oh, where's this person, that person? Well, they had to work today. And these are people that are, like, 65 years old, and they're running a farm, a ranch, and got a job.
I mean, is this the way that America should be? No. But this is what happens when you have these woke policies where you have to print money to fund everything under the sun, hand out all these entitlements, pay for things that the government should never have to pay for. You have high taxes, high interest rates, high inflation. Wages are coming down. Unemployment is persisting. Sadly, this is what Biden has brought to America.
It's incredible. Let's talk about when we come back. But people should call you right now and get silver and gold right now. KEPM.com/gold. We'll give you the number when we come back. All right, Dr. Kirk Elliott, some stations don't carry this first five. I'm going to ask you what all this news means, what's coming next when we come back. But a lot of folks are tuned in now as well. What are some of these other graphs? The divergent story in retail, the FRED graph you sent me, David Stockman on the mother of all housing bubbles. We've got a lot to cover here, so let's start going through this.
Yeah, so personal savings rate. This is all part of the economic slowdown that we're talking about here, right? So personal savings rate, if you look at that chart, it's like cratered. It's as low as it's ever been, which means what? People save money when they have excess capital at the end of the month. When they have none, it's terrible, right? But it's actually negative, right? So when you look, why? Because people are using the excess on their credit cards as their savings rate. And right now, there's $1 trillion of credit card debt outstanding in America. And when, let's say you had $20,000 on your credit card and you have another $10,000 that you can have access to, right? Because you have a $30,000 limit. They're using that excess $10,000 as a savings rate. That's not savings. That's a loan. That's ultimately going to be debt if you dig into that. So you see that kind of stuff happening. David Stockman, one of the most brilliant guys that I've ever read, he was Reagan's budget director. So he's not talking about Alex Jones' budget or Kirk Elliott's budget. He's talking about the budget of the United States. It's massive. So he always knows the source of funds, the use of funds, the makeup of all the spending, the makeup of all the revenue. He understands all of that. And his forecasts throughout history have been so accurate. Well, what did he say now? That we are in store for the mother of all real estate collapses, like the big one, right? So bigger than 2009. 2009 was subprime lending. Why does he say that it's so bad this time? Well, because the affordability of houses is at an all-time low. It's like, I've said an all-time low a couple times on this show. Personal savings rates, all-time low. You know, capital gains rates that Kamala wants, all-time high. Affordability of homes, all-time low, which means your mortgage payments now are close to the max, where people don't have anything left as of their income that they make. The mortgage payments are more the majority of that now. I remember when I was fresh out of college, fresh out of grad school, I was vice president of a mortgage company. And back then, when we would give out mortgage loans, you had to have one-third. You had the mortgage payment could only be one-third of your income.
Now they're going to give illegal aliens $150,000 free as a grant and $30,000 in other liberal states.
Yeah, it's free. I mean, this is insane. So we're expecting a huge, massive collapse. And so sometimes I get a lot of negative comments, or because, Kirk, you say that silver is going up and it's down 84 cents today. It's like, okay, well, I hate to tell you, but you're wrong. Silver is doing really well. You look at where it was 4 months ago, it was at 22. Today it's at 28. That's up over 30%. You look at where it was in 2022, you know, 2 years ago, it was $17.97. Today it's $28. You look where it was in 2020, it was $11.91 an ounce. Today it's $28, right? So this is amazing growth. And I want everybody, but people tend to look at the negative. They tend to look at the one down day and forget about the massive growth that we're seeing. This is what I want everybody to experience, is the growth in one of the safest markets that we have, given the political conditions that we're living through.
Well, you're totally dead on. So let's come back at the rest of this news and give us your take, as you've been dead on. What is going to unfold next and the timeline? Are you changing any of your forecasts, or is it still continuing on? You've been right so far, but are you changing your trajectory up or down in the economy? We don't know. Kirk Elliott, Straight Edge. We're learning more now as we get closer. Stay with us. We'll be right back in 60 seconds. All right. Dr. Kirk Elliott is our guest. Great economist. Been dead on. You see all those predictions come true, but I'm going to commission the crew. If we need a bigger crew, they're doing a great job. They're overwhelmed. We're up here to like 8 at night most nights. We need people to appear at like 10 or 11 in one of the debate next week. Boy. But we really need to go through his interviews and just clip, and then show a graph as he says it, basically tracking exactly. So give us the big enchilada. You've been coming on for almost 11 months. You're dead on, 25 years. Really great analysis on where the economy is now and where your projections are at now. Does it follow the line you predicted, or is it worse than you thought or better than you thought?
Well, I think the economy is getting worse than we thought, and I think the projections for tangible assets like gold and silver are better than I thought. You know, with some of the news that we talked about 2 weeks ago, that the development of the new Samsung battery for electric vehicles that uses a solid silver core rather than a liquid electrolyte core, that's potentially 67% of all global mining production in silver, added to the already shortfall of supply that we have because of everything else that's happening, right? And central banks buying up gold. We've got all this mayhem and political chaos and unsustainability and high taxes. And it's like, oh, Alex, it's like crazy, right? So those kind of things propel it upward. Now, a lot of the economists, not just me, but a lot of economists that follow the hard asset commodity space are expecting silver to hit $50 by the end of this year. Alex, it's 30. That's a 67% increase over the next 4 months. Even if they're the dumbest economists on the planet and they get an F because they're 50% wrong, that's still 30% growth. Well, what if they can barely even fog up a mirror? They're so dumb. And they're 75% off. That's still 15% between now and the end of the year. That's 4 months. That's an amazing return. So I think that things are accelerating in a way that is even more than what I would have projected. And it's an election year, and you've got everything that's happening in Israel and with Iran kind of erupting and funding all these terrorist
and Russia, right? Ukraine invading Russia, and the globalists wanting black swans. I mean, here's the deal. Explain this to people, because you have the actual numbers. I just have a gestalt of it. There's more gold. So the globalists, to them, silver, there's so little of it, it's not even on their radar because they have trillions and hundreds of billions to spend, and the institutions are all buying that. But billionaires, smaller corporations, individuals are buying up silver everywhere, and then now it's being found to have all these even more incredible industrial uses, which mainline even analysts say is going to make it explode. Why hasn't the general public figured this out? Because as soon as they figure it out, I think that's why you see a lot of analysts saying $200 an ounce silver in a year. I mean, once they figure it out, it's going to go crazy.
You're right. Well, you're not going to hear this on normal financial news networks. You're not going to hear it from your normal advisor, your stockbroker.
Even though mainline analysts are predicting 60% increase in the next 4 months.
Mainline.
No, I read it. I know. So mainline are saying that, but then it's not on the news. I mean, that's...
Well, so your broker, you know, at Merrill Lynch or Schwab or wherever they're at, right? They don't sell tangible assets, and it's actually against their rules. They could lose their job. It's a law called selling away, or an administrative ruling that says, hey, if you recommend something that we don't offer, you could actually lose your job. So keep your pie hole shut and don't talk about it, right? So it's like, man, that happened to me back in 1998, right? I was working for a stock company, and I was recommending that people actually just back then do 5% of your portfolio into physical gold. And they said, Kirk, you can't do that. Cease and desist. It's like, what? I'm always going to do what's best for the client. So I quit. Right? It's like, I'm not going to let somebody tell me to do something because their compliance officer said it's all you can talk about. Alex, we've got to start looking in other directions when we've got this debt imbalance that we're seeing.
No, I agree, but just interrupt real quick. And that's just like we now learned a few months ago, 2.3 or 2. Guys, look it up. Just type in Walgreens CVS paid billions to not prescribe ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and other known, we now know the FDA admits they knew, it was on their own website then, treatments that had a 99% success rate. They also blocked budesonide that even their mainline papers said, and we turned out the rich and powerful were taking it. I mean, it's the same thing. They give a directive, and it's like saying, don't give a man in the desert water. You know, give them something else that turns their kidneys and liver off, like remdesivir. I mean, these are sick people.
They are sick people, and you start to see how this impacts society, right? People will invest when they view the future as being good, right? When they view it as consistent, and all their hard-earned money that they've worked their whole life to accumulate is going to go someplace and grow. But people naturally pull back the reins, Alex, when there's fear, there's a hurdle, or there's something that they don't know about, right? So this is where we're starting to see societal decline. And so in Denver right now, this is where I live, everyone's seeing the news about Aurora and all the Venezuelan undocumented gang members from prison that are up here walking around with semi-automatic rifles, going commandeering apartment buildings, you know, having people at gunpoint saying, you're going to pay us the rent instead of your landlord or else. They're walking down the streets with face masks on in the middle of the night and breaking into people's garages and stealing motorcycles and everything else. It's like, it's a war zone. And I hear gunshots, you know, from outside of our office. We actually had a shooting right outside of our window, downtown Denver. And there's like three people laying on the sidewalks with blood coming out of their chest. It's like, what? And it's because we're a sanctuary city, for crying out loud. Again, stupid, woke, liberal politics where you can't really talk bad about these people, right? To me, a criminal is a criminal. I don't care where you're
from. No, I totally agree. But when you read the Soros, Cloward, and Bibbin plan controlling the DAs, and many of the attorney generals, not most, about 40%, over 20 of them in the states, they want the crime wave. They want to bring down society. That's a communist tactic to destroy civilization so you can build something back on top of it. Kirk Elliott, great job. I want to tell people again, you're a great sponsor. I only bring people the best water filters, the best herbal food at the lower price. You can spend three times more and get even more gourmet, but it's good quality, clean, healthy, tasty food for the lowest price you're going to get for quality and great packaging that lasts a long time, ready to deliver. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. But people need to call you. They need to get a consultation. You guys just don't jump in bed immediately. It's super easy, though. Find out what you want to do, what you're looking for. Get into silver right now. If you want gold, they'll sell that to you at wholesale, folks. So if you're saying a spot, that's what it comes out of the ground at. They are the top company in the U.S., 25-year overnight success story. That's a joke. I'm a 30-year overnight success story. So, again, go to kepm.com/gold. That's simple. Just Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, kepm.com/gold, or 720-605-3900. And I believe there's nothing sure in this world except that God's real and that mama loves you, at least most mommies do, is that you need to get into silver now. If you're smart, it is the no-brainer. 100% in my feeling, my opinion, it's going to way outperform their very best stocks, even defense stocks or medical stocks in this climate. Most analysts are saying 60% in the next, you know, 4, 5, 6 months. Let's say it's half of that. You're talking 30%. This is and then you physically hold it or you put it in a depository. There's so much you can do. You can roll over IRAs, you name it. Call Dr. Kirk Elliott and his team right now. They're amazing, so professional, so nice. 877-789-2539. They don't bite, but sometimes on the show they get thousands of calls. Usually get hundreds every time. So, you know, they don't call you back for a day or so. Just understand they're getting to you. They're going to spend time with you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, kepm.com/gold or 720-605-3900. Dr. Kirk Elliott, thank you so much.
You're welcome. We'll see you.
All right. I want people to listen to me and I want people to listen very, very carefully. I am an expert on the subject that we're about to cover with great constitutional lawyer and great historian and good friend of mine, Robert Barnes. I want you to listen to me very, very, very carefully here, okay? I have personally been through this. I have personally been through what I'm about to break down for you. Now, for a lot of reasons that would take an hour to describe, I never gave the details of this, but my lawyer at the time for free speech, Mark Rondazza, leading name, and Robert Barnes advising me on InfoWars and our operations, he was engaged then for a couple of years, are the only people that know the full story, other than the people that did it. So when I talk about Russiagate, really 3.0, because they've done this two previous times, 2016, and then they tried it again in the last election. It's the Democrats and the deep state that are getting the money. They're getting the payoffs. It's come out Biden and his son are like vending machines or like a NASCAR, all the stickers on it. The Chi-Com's the biggest one. The Black Rocks, the Russians are in there. So if Biden was a NASCAR, Kamala's a NASCAR, there's a big Russian Federation sticker on the door. Okay, but there's CCP on the hood, on the roof, Black Rock. There's a NAMBL sticker on the trunk. There's an ADL sticker, you know, on the quarter panel. There's a sticker for Planned Parenthood. That's who he is. With Trump, 100% America, zero foreign influence. They went over all his people with a fine-tooth comb. They could find nobody. Now, I got a reproached. It actually happened again this year, too. They had undercover sting people, and they tried to infiltrate us and tried to hire some of the employees and get them to commit crimes. And they used a foreign British multinational group out of Dubai to do it. So we've had MI6. But going back on the same day that I confronted Marco Rubio, I go back to the Trump Hotel. I'm about to leave with the crew. And this very important person wants to meet with me, who's dialed into the Republican and Democrat administrations. Let's say the bureaucracy, heads of agencies. So I say, yeah, I'll meet you, you know, in the restaurant by the bar. Comes in, says, here is this piece of paper. The Internet Research Group wants to give you $3 million in this private trust right now. You just got to sign this piece of paper. It's totally legal. And I said, no, thank you. And there's a lot more goes in the story. And then I wrote a letter to the FBI and then brought it to him and had other information. Barnes was given all the info. He can attest to all this. Then they tried to infiltrate our crew and get them to take money. Of course, none of them did. The Southern Poverty Law Center was able to get one to do it and hack into our computer systems because they could find nothing, and then hack into the surveillance cameras. The best they had was me smoking a cigarette and drinking a vodka. They put that on the news. Whoop-de-doo. But that's the tip of the iceberg. So if I'm experiencing this, and that's just a little bit of it. That's just like the top four or five examples. Been about more than I could count. And I'm sure there's a lot I don't know about. And thank God I've always been a Boy Scout, so it's just okay. It's really hard to, you know, con an honest man, as they say, because I just don't even dial into that crap. What we saw them do with Trump and all his people being approached by Russians, who were really CIA, FBI, they could never get one Trump person to do it. And they tried. They tried to set him up, tried to set up Flynn. So now when you hear Benny Johnson and Tim Pool are secretly working for Russians, you have a private media company that goes out and gets Tim Pool to produce a culture show for them that he signs a contract that they can air anywhere they want and sell. They get sponsorship to do it. It's companies, mainline companies, that the company's gotten as sponsors. They don't even know that RT is involved funding the company. But then Merrick Garland admits, the head of the DOJ, that an outside investor actually gave the money to the company that was also working with RT to go out and make these acquisitions that it requested. Now, I don't know 100% that's the same deal that happened to us that they tried, but 99%. So you hear, oh my God, these conservative influencers were part of a company that got $10 million. And I looked at the numbers. They might have gotten $100,000 apiece. It's chicken feed. We have billions being spent this election cycle on the books and billions off with all these foreign governments flooding in for Kamala Harris. And they're using MI6 to try to frame Trump with the Crossfire Hurricane fake dossier. I mean, it goes on and on. They're spending billions. They want you to think it's all being thrown to Putin by $10 million, where you've got hundreds of millions from the Russians going to the Democrats alone and $3 million from the Moscow mayor to Biden. So they've arrested two RT employees way up the chain with these media conglomerates and PR firms and ad agencies. And then as a talk show host or show, sponsors come to you or groups come to you and say, hey, we want to air your show on this platform. And then the platform's got some Russian investment, but not enough to sponsor the shows. So a private investor comes in and says what it wants. And then the media company takes that, and then they say it's Russians. And that's what Garland said at the end of this clip we're going to play here in just a moment. Then we'll go to Robert Barnes for the balance of the hour, and I appreciate him getting out of court early to be here. And he hosts, of course, a great show with Viva Fry. And just search his name. He's hard to not find. Does an amazing job. So here is Merrick Garland last night. Boy, they've really got the Russians now. Meanwhile, we think of the Russians as communists. The globalists are the ones with 75% unrealized capital gains tax. They're the ones with price controls. They're the ones that want to have 90% death taxes. They're the commies. I mean, the Russians are lightweights at manipulating the U.S. We know who's manipulating. AP saying that J.D. Vance said, I don't care about kids, and it's a fact of life. He said the opposite. I care. It shouldn't be a fact of life. We've got to stop this. So they're the disinfo. They're the trillion-pound gorilla, and Russia's influence is like a scrawny rhesus monkey or something. So here's a clip of Garland.
The company never disclosed to the influencers or to their millions of followers its ties to RT and the Russian government. Instead, the defendants and the company claimed that the company was sponsored by a private investor. But that private investor was a fictitious persona.
Okay, Barnes, let's start with me. Not that I'm that important, but you were there. You saw the documents, clear cut. You advised others, said at that point, don't, go after this is CIA, FBI, folks. I'll leave it at that. What do you want to tell people about that? And then do you agree this is Russiagate 3.0? Very serious, because they're going to roll out against all independent media. They can have these mixed ad agencies that buy ads everywhere. Kind of, they try to get Musk by refreshing thousands of times to get an anti-Semitic post with an ad on it. It's the same thing. They can put this money out. They can invest in Russian companies or subsidiaries. The CIA or FBI can, or the ADL, or the Southern Poverty Law Center. Then they can get that money somehow downchain into somebody's ad feed, and then they can say you're a Russian agent. That's clearly where they're going, Robert Barnes.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's part of a common pattern now for a long time, but it accelerated under Trump, which is their goal is they want to use FISA to spy on a bunch of Americans that are involved in political activities that they dislike. They want to find ways to smear them publicly and ideally suppress and censor their speech and activities and build up paranoia that can justify various forms of foreign wars. And the goal is to come up with a pretend foreign enemy that is usually never the actual source of what's taking place. That if you dig in, whether you look at what happened in 2016, where they pretended Russians were infiltrating the Trump campaign, so then they could illegally spy on the Trump campaign, illegally and illicitly smear the Trump campaign and Trump himself with the bogus Mueller case and the election results, and they could build up paranoia with Russia to try to prevent Trump from getting a détente with Russia rather than having Russia align with China, which had been an American objective for dating back to Nixon. And they keep repeating and rerunning the script over and over again. So they did it in 2016, then they did it again in variations of Ukraine Gate and the first impeachment in 2018, then they did it again in 2020, said that Hunter Biden's laptop was really a Russian disinformation campaign, and they've been trying to do it ever since. They made multiple inroads trying basically what they have is that these people aren't on Putin's payroll, they're on Langley's payroll, and they pretend to be behind the scenes that they tell the courts and other people that they're Russians. They're not. They're spooks. Now, some of them may be Russians, but they're not working for the Russian government. They're working for the U.S. and Western governments, MI6, et cetera. Think Christopher Steele, who was both on the payroll of Ukrainian oligarchs and on the former payroll of MI6 and MI5. So it's they made approaches to you. They made approaches to other people. And the goal has been to try to entrap them in something that they can label criminal behavior as justification to spy on their entire network because of the six-hop rule that basically with FISA, you can not only spy on that person, but spy on anybody within 6 degrees of separation of them effectively. So it's a massive surveillance spy net. And they always allege it's foreign funding because that's the pretext for FISA to be involved so they can circumvent a regular warrant process in spying on American communications and correspondence. You can see that in the indictment. Here, they were clearly spying in live time on all of these.
Yeah, bottom line, that's how they're spying on the Trump campaign for a third round, which all came out illegally, is they're just throwing some money into a Russian operation that's buying media and then say, oh, my God, the Russians.
Exactly. And the second objective with all of this is to be able to suppress dissident speech, to censor dissident speech. It's another way of using the legal system to try to get off the air people they don't like, to get major platforms. I mean, already YouTube has completely deleted Lauren Chen from public existence. Not only is the Tenet Network gone, everything that Lauren Chen has ever done for a decade is gone. And that's the goal, to intimidate platforms, often collude and conspire with those platforms to censor speech. It's just a different variation of the Sandy Hook litigation, a different variation of the Trump litigation, weaponizing the legal system to suppress and censor dissident speech and to sow discord. I mean, this goes back to COINTELPRO, it's the same script, sow discord within their dissident political community. Sadly, it worked. You had a bunch of people on the right who just bought this line, hook, line, and sinker. There are certain key giveaways with all of this. And then the third goal is use this new legal system, the Foreign Agents Registration Act, to be able to criminalize people they don't like and disagree with. I mean, that's what it really is. I mean, how is it that foreigners investing in American media is now a crime? Well, what's Fox but founded by Rupert Murdoch, a foreigner? He's now a U.S. citizen, but he wasn't always. What's the New York Times? They're owned by a Mexican billionaire. Look at how much oil money is tied up with major companies. You can't throw a rock in D.C. without hitting somebody that's on a foreign payroll. And usually it's an Arab, a Middle Eastern foreign payroll. Whichever side you're on the Israeli side, they're either getting paid by Israel or getting paid by people who hate Israel. Both of them lining up people and lining up paying pockets. So how did that suddenly become a crime? This is all about a mass hoax on the public, middle of an election, to influence the election, but also to try to, it's a new wave of attack of censorship and suppression of independent thought, to intimidate them into saying, if we can say that any source of funds ever came from some foreign government we don't like, then now we can tag you, shame you, and censor you. Look at what we did to Lauren Chen. Eliminated her from public presence.
By the way, stay there. Hours. Excellent. Knocks it out of the park. Stay there, Robert. We're back in a few minutes. Let's get Lauren Chen on the show because, I like Glenn Beck. Those guys are good. I'm on the show in a few weeks. But I think they made the wrong move getting rid of her just because she got money from this group not knowing. And then YouTube takes her down. We need to stop running scared from the globalists. We'll be right back. Stay with us. And I want to be 100% clear because I said that thing at the end of the segment about Glenn Beck. I think Glenn Beck is doing God's work. He is one of the top people out there fighting the New World Order. He has grown so much, and I think he's a really good person. I'm not saying they don't have a right to get rid of Lauren Chen. I've been on her show a few times. She's a nice lady on the Blaze. Just kind of a nice conservative, populist person. And ICTPUSA took her off of their website as well. They're thinking, I haven't talked to them, but I know what they're thinking. Well, this is a contagion. They're going to try to say Trump's a Russian agent, because he's associated with these people that, through a subsidiary company, were being sponsored by RT, that is state-run. But even the Justice Department mentioned they didn't know. But so, I mean, at a certain point, the Russians spent $10 million, and some of it, through another company, went to these people to sponsor their shows or to get one of their shows and air on another network. I mean, that's how the media works. Again, I'm on hundreds of radio stations. Is there some station out there that Russians or funding I don't know about, and then I'm in trouble if that comes out? This is not illegal, even if you're just here talking about issues, but I'm not funded by the Russians that I know. But I mean, we're on a bunch of TV stations, cable stations, over 100 of those. We're on over 300 plus radio stations. And I mean, we use all sorts of big tech platforms for servers. Who knows who they're taking money from? I mean, it's just crazy, but I'm kind of digressing there. Maybe the Trump people, that's where this came from, are making the right move, kind of walling this off. But, I mean, Tim Pool's a great guy. So's Benny Johnson. I mean, these are huge people. They reach tens of millions a day. And I just think at a certain point, I'm on counter with, you're the Russian agents, you're the Chinese agents. Hell, the Hochul's former chief of staff, deputy chief of staff, just got busted, the Chi-Com agent. I mean, you can't swing a stick in the dark and not hit the Democrats with a Chi-Com agent. So how would you respond to this? And Barnes, I think you agree with me, you already said it. This is a permutation, the third round of the Russiagate. This time they know nobody buys it about Trump, and nobody in his administration or around him is involved with Russia. So now they're going to scoop around and hide around and plant stuff and try to then intimidate everybody not to support Trump, or you're a Russian agent. Where do you see this going, and how do you think we should respond?
Yeah, there's two aspects to this. One is the legally perilous precedent they're trying to set. They're trying to say if they tie foreign funds at any level to anybody that is out there speaking about American politics that they could potentially seize your property, seize your assets, shut down your business, and censor your speech entirely. And that's a terrifying precedent we should be completely opposed to. The second aspect is, I bet dollars to donuts that if we find the real source of the funds, it won't come from Moscow. It will come from closer to Langley. Here's the giveaway. People are forgetting Mueller already did this script because he indicted people connected to the Internet Research Agency. And the usual pattern is they just indict individuals that they know will never appear in court so they can get away with falsifying information in the indictment, and they can hide it from FOIA requests because there's a pending criminal proceeding. It's an exception to the FOIA request. What happened was they made a mistake in Mueller's case. Mueller indicted the company. The company could make an appearance without any individual risk. And so they did. And when they did, they said, they totally shocked Mueller. They said, we want all the discovery to prove your allegations are completely bogus. What did the U.S. Justice Department do? It said, hey, judge, please dismiss this case immediately. Please dismiss. The whole case got dismissed because they were scared to prove what really happened. Because what really happened was that was not a Russian operation. That was a deep state operation with deep state fingerprints forensically all over the place.
Robert, let me stop you, and I want you to elaborate and say what you need to say because you're the expert here. But not to write myself into this like Hunter S. Thompson with Gonzo Journalism, but you were there. You saw what happened to me with a high-level official that has worked for the CIA, top Republicans and Democrats, with a spouse that heads up a federal agency, approaches me, and you knew him, you talked to him. We'll leave it at that. And previously had brought stuff to me about working with good folks that wanted to fund me. I'm the richest man in the world at the time, not Musk, but I needed to, you know, kind of grow up a little bit, said no to that. And then I'm back in D.C. a few months later, and now it's, well, the Russians want to give you $3 million. It's totally legal. It's Internet Research Group. And just sign here. And I think the SWAT teams would have run in at that point. I mean, what was that?
Well, that was an attempt to do what they did here. So the only mistake they made there was they misgauged your sophistication. They did a better job this time of only targeting people who don't have the degree of sophistication and have a degree of naivete as to how the deep state operates. And so you outed them before they could actually entrap you. But that's when we dug into it, it wasn't really the Russians. They were trying to front as Russians in order to incriminate you, in order to go after you, in order to be able to spy on your whole network, and then try to censor and suppress your speech, shut you down, silence you entirely. In the same way, the lawfare that, again, they've admitted on the record to James O'Keefe's people and to other people, other investigative reporters, that the Sandy Hook cases were politically coordinated behind the scenes by people who are out to censor and silence you, including people at the FBI, the DOJ, and the CIA. The heart and center of the deep state. And that's what they're doing here. So what it is they use the claim of Russians, but they only indict. Here was the giveaway. In the indictment, there are several giveaways, but one of the giveaways was in the indictment, they didn't make Mueller's mistake. Like, if they really thought the RT was behind this, then you indict RT as a company. You indict other companies that are involved in this. That's what you do. If you sincerely think the Russian government was trying to run an intel operation through conservative influencers, why, that's a compelling case. You want the world to know about it. You want a trial to happen. Instead, they don't indict any company. They indict two Russians they know are never going to appear in court. So they can hide it from FOIA forever, and they can hide it from the public what really happened, that the checks were from Langley, not from Putin. And that's what the reality of this is. And that's what we should out it as, because the only thing that's going to stop this from occurring again and again and again and again is if we out it for what it is. Russiagate 1 was a hoax. Russiagate 2 was a hoax. Russiagate 3 is a hoax. People should not be running to smear, shame, and censor Lauren Chen because she was the victim of a deep state operation. Nor should they accept anything Merrick Garland is telling them as true. There's so many giveaways here. For example, if they really thought this was a Russian intel operation, then you go to Tim Pool, you go to Dave Rubin, you go to Benny Johnson, you say, we want to incriminate these people. Here's who's really behind this. We want you to run an operation for us. And all of them would have, by the way. All of them eagerly would.
By the way, you're giving out some inside baseball. When I brought this into the FBI in the letter, I said, by the way, if you're not behind this, I want to help you. And of course, no. Oh, no. So. You say I'm sophisticated. This was very obvious. With these guys, an ad agency media company says they want to sponsor them. It's been an American company. It's got Russians secretly funding it. Then there's a private investor. They had no way of knowing. I mean, this would be like if somebody stuck drugs in your mailbox, you know, when pickup's happening, and put your name and address on it, and then that can later be proven you don't go to jail that somebody mailed drugs in your name. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Oh, completely. I mean, there's no reason to implicate any of the content creators in knowing anything of consequence. Even if they did know something, what they were doing was not illegal. But what it is like, for example, if this was truly a Russian operation, they would have been much more sophisticated. They would have approached other people. They would have used multiple levels of fronts. The Russians would have operated the way the CIA does. This is some cheap operation, mid-level, written by some diversity hire over at the CIA, over at the DOJ, over at the FBI, who just said, hey, you know what? We've run this script twice before. We tried to entrap George Papadopoulos. We tried to entrap Carter Page. I remember talking to him at a London cigar bar about all the details. He laid it out to me, and this was before it became public, and I was like, this is a deep state operation. This guy's a deep state guy. This guy's a deep state guy. This guy's a deep state guy. And by the way, all of that ultimately came out as absolutely true years later. They weren't Russians. They were on the MI5 payroll, MI6 payroll. They were on the Australian intelligence payroll. They were on U.S. intelligence payroll, Canadian intelligence payroll. They were on the Five Eyes payroll. That's where they were. That's what this is. This is a deep state operation. That's all it is, meant to smear a whole bunch of people and meant to justify all their illicit spying.
So let me ask people you this. Exactly. That's the key, is the FISA. Finish that, and then what do you expect them to do now that we know the shape and the cut of the jib of this new attack, and then how do we respond?
Well, it's like what we've talked about for a while, is that the dangers of the current establishment and deep state is that they have the moral compass of Henry Kissinger, but the intellect of Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. And that's a dangerous combination because it can lead to disastrous results like what bred World War I, which gave us World War II, which gave us the Great Depression, which gave us the Cold War. It was all of their incompetency in the 19-teens, early 1920s. But the we have the same. So that's a fear here because this is like a mid-level operation. As soon as I saw it, I was like, this is a half-assed version of what Mueller did. And you know, I was a little bit surprised that people like Megyn Kelly and other conservatives just took the bait on it and swallowed it whole. It's like, come on, how many times you got to get taken for a ride before you know who's riding you? But the my concern is that this is an attempt to escalate. They tried to get Putin arrested in Mongolia, which would have been insane. They're trying to trigger, they invaded Russia through Ukraine. They're trying to trigger a war before Election Day. That's my greatest concern.
Only 59.
Get World War III.
I agree. So let's shift gears and we'll go back to World War III in a moment and cover the waterfront, the campaign, 59 days to go, and Black Swan events and all that's being hyped up and civil unrest being hyped and civil war conditions by Jamie Raskin and the rest of it. What do you make of this? Last time I checked, it had like 18 million views this morning. That was just Stephen Crowder's posting. It was incredible investigation units. He is now even rivaling James O'Keefe, and we're not in competition. I mean, I hope they all get 1,000 bigger times than me. I'm going to beat the globalist. But we got to say it. He's really kicking ass with his team. Top Manhattan U.S. Attorney's Office spokesman blasts DA Bragg over Trump prosecution and secret recording. The case is nonsense. He says they're a bunch of cowboys, Wild Wild West. They're idiots. They're changing the cases as they go. Double jeopardy. You know, Trump is innocent. This is politically motivated. It's horrible. It's going to get messy. Wow. And then less than 24 hours after that, the judge in the criminal cases, we're not going to have he said he was, they had Rikers ready. He said, we're not going to put Trump in jail for a year. They were saying on the 18th of September, just in, you know, a little less than a week and a half away. Now we're going to wait until after the election. How big a deal is that?
Well, it's really big. And it's what I predicted would happen. Because I believe that the smarter side of the Democratic Party knows that the criminal weaponization of the justice system has limited effect, that it's not worked the way they thought it would against Trump. Just like they thought Sandy Hook litigation would work a certain way against you and they failed. They keep underestimating the American people. And so then the question becomes, what's next? Because that script has basically run out. The New York judge has said he's not even going to make a ruling on the merits of the mistrial motion until after Election Day. And guess who else did that yesterday? The D.C. judge. The D.C. judge said no trial until after Election Day.
Wait, let me stop you, which shows it's all coordinated, which we already know. They all meet at the White House. They all, from Fannie Willis to Letitia James to Alvin Bragg to Jack Smith, it's all come out. They all meet and get coordination from Obama.
Completely. I mean, it's been a deep state operation now for the better part of a decade. They can't handle the fact that they're losing power in the court of public opinion. And they're going to resort. The question is, Trump has really upped his game. So, he unites with Robert Kennedy. He unites with Tulsi Gabbard. He's going to bring Elon Musk to take apart the administrative state. You know, Tucker's tour is doing great. Robert Kennedy and Vivek were on there last night in Anaheim. So the mojo is, the zeitgeist is all in the right direction. This Russiagate 3.0 was one last desperate heave to try to disrupt the election, and it failed. So I don't think they can sell the American people on any sort of nonsense lawfare between now and Election Day. They can try to intimidate them like Garland is doing, saying if you try to do anything for honest elections, I'll try to stop you from the Justice Department, which is what his press conference last week was really all about. But other than that, our greatest risk is going to be some global catastrophe, because that's almost all they have left, the only card they have left to play, because the American people have seen through it and are rejecting it en masse.
Absolutely. Now, I interrupted you when you got into D.C. dropping it the same day. I want to explain to people how this works, okay? And I wasn't naive, but I didn't get the coordination until the Texas trial you were there, the Connecticut trial you were there watching it. You were also involved intimately early on. You said, look, it's all rigged. You explained it all to me like 5 years ago. You said, watch what happens. They're just getting discovery to then say you didn't give it. They're going to default you. It's all going to be rigged. It's from the Justice Department. And that all letter came out. You were dead on. You didn't say give up. You just said, understand, you're giving them everything. And they're going to say you gave them nothing. And you were there, the most exhausted you've ever seen. You can explain that if you want to, but I'm not putting words in your mouth. I've heard you say it 100 times, and I was there. It's true. I go in. There's an HBO camera. I'm looking on the judge's desk when I'm up there testifying, and she's got a script of questions. And then when I was in Connecticut, I look over at the judge, and she's got the same script. They gave lawyers in Connecticut and lawyers in Texas, different people, the same things we couldn't talk about, the 25 points. We got the same instructions. They put on all this fake evidence after I was already found guilty by the judges, and they literally put on show trials that would make Joseph Goebbels and Joseph Stalin blush. And I was like, oh, my God, this is – and they said later, this is a test for everybody. We're going to use the Alex Jones attack plan on MSNBC and CNN against everybody. And what's crazy is they had a PR firm come out after they rigged it and said, hey, we did it. We dredged up stuff he said. We magnified it. They made it up. And then we made him the Sandy Hook guy and then sued him and then rigged it. And then they pulled the articles 2 days later. Like, well, they weren't supposed to do that. But it's just crazy. I mean, when I was in Texas and Connecticut, they had 10 PR people at least calling the media on the ground. They're watching us. They're reporting. They're talking to the media. They're talking to the lawyers. They're talking to the judges' people. I mean, this was a movie production. And then the judge in Texas walks the red carpet at the South by Southwest main selection this year for HBO, The Truth versus Alex Jones, totally made up, all crap, all twisted lies, total bull. And she is a standing ovation as part of the panel there, which, according to all jurisprudence, she should be disbarred, immediately removed. But that's how crazy they are.
Oh, completely. And when people forget, I mean, like, why do they bring these bogus indictments like Mueller did against the Internet Research Agency, like this indictment brought comes after Laura Chen effectively by implication, when they know there's never going to be a trial on the merits, when they know that the truth will never come out, when they know they can now hide information from FOIA? It's the same reason they rigged the Sandy Hook trials. They need a script. And as long as if it's in court, then what happens can be publicly discussed without anybody being able to sue for defamation. So Tim Pool, Benny Johnson, Dave Rubin, Laura Chen, they can't sue anybody because there's an indictment in court and that they can rely upon it. And so when anything's filed in court, as long as you report on it, you can't be sued for defamation. So that's why they do it that way. And that's why, like, they literally rigged the entire Texas trial for a movie. And the issue is, if that movie production company talked about anything outside of that courtroom that was untrue, they could be sued into oblivion. So they needed the trial to be fixed so that they could be immune from libel when they spread a libelous lawsuit that's supposedly about libel. but the entire case was a libelous case, a smear campaign, in order to be immune from suit. So that here's the problem. If they had allowed your side to present your evidence, then they would have been obligated in the film to show your side. And they didn't want that to happen. That's why why are they even going through with a trial? It's like you've been denied an opportunity to defend yourself on the merits.
And they put a financial expert on that never examined our books to claim I had $360 million in the bank that I made off them, and I had less than $3 million that was already owed. So I was upside down. They wouldn't even let for a whole day of testimony. She just said, you get no testimony today. And the jury, we talked to them after, they said, well, since you're worth $360 million, we thought we would give 10% of your wealth to the families.
Exactly. I mean, it was a completely fake case.
$45 million. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so the key was, it was for the movie. The movie could not be made if they had presented an honest case. If you were allowed to present the truth, the actual truth, they call it the truth versus Alex Jones. It's Alex Jones is on the side of truth, and they were on the side of lies. And they needed to be able to spread a libelous film. And the only way they could spread a libelous film and libelous media was if they had a fake case. A case in which you were gagged and not allowed and present any evidence, not only as to the merits, but as to any evidence as to the truth about large aspects of your net worth and damages.
And that's when it really backfired, was the public started reading headlines. Jones already found guilty by a judge. Why doesn't Jones ever get to talk? Why do they get 90% of the time? Why does the mother get up and say, you said I'm not real today? My son's not real. Never said that. Never said that day. Said the opposite. And then she lets her go for 10 minutes saying I'm horrible. All for the movie. But then if I tried to talk, you yes or no, all your answers, yes or no. You can't have notes. They can all have notes. So it was so transparent that 99% of the comments on YouTube at that trial in Connecticut were so bad, they then removed that. But this isn't about me. It's the formula, folks. Let's talk about this. We haven't talked about this enough. 9 weeks ago, the court-appointed CRO and U.S. Trustee Justice Department, Pat McGill, the CRO, Melissa Hazelton, the U.S. Trustee from the Justice Department, they order the building closed on a Friday, us to be thrown out by the private security I hired 8 years ago. I tell them, hey, there's no court order. Don't do this. They go, well, we don't know what to do. They have the security company goes, no, you're right. I can't do this. And I'm going to call the police if you do this. Then I had to sleep up here because they tried to get other people to come in and, you know, shut it down in the days that followed. And then they say it's not true in the news. Chris Manning says he's made this up to Reuters and AP. Then days later, they go, no, it is true. They go to court that next week and say, we want him closed right now. The judge says, no, we'll have a hearing in 2 weeks. At the hearing in 2 weeks, he fires the U.S. trustee and fires the CRO. Says it's Alex Jones's company. You can't shut it down. Hands it back to me, but I'm already in Chapter 7, so then it has to liquidate. That's going forward. But the vigilantism, the desperateness, they got up in court, the U.S. trustee's lawyers, and said, please don't give him the bank accounts. He'll run away with the money. Please don't do this to the children. What? To the families, which they then said, we don't want a settlement. We don't want money. We want him closed. And they told the news that. So just lies on top of lies on top of twisting and then admitting it all. I mean, what did you think of that spectacle?
Well, I mean, it shows what it was all about from the beginning. That once the movie was made and the judge appeared on the red carpet, everything I said about that trial became confirmed beyond any doubt. And that the same thing has happened in terms – because what's happened in the bankruptcy court is all the lies got exposed. All the lies claiming, you know, secret hundreds of millions of dollars, all garbage, all hogwash. And that the real objective wasn't about justice, wasn't about any of that. It was about censorship of speech. It was about suppression of speech. That's the same thing with the recent Russiagate cases. I mean, it's all about remove the dissidents we don't like from the air. I mean, that's what a lot of the TikTok ban is about. They didn't like who was becoming popular on TikTok. So they tried to pass a ban on it, pretending it was about foreign government involvement. But that isn't why they're going after TikTok. They're going after TikTok because they didn't like Robert Kennedy having success on TikTok. They didn't like people critical of Israel having success on TikTok. Then Donald Trump has a lot of success on TikTok. That's why they're going after
TikTok. No, I totally agree with you. So back to my case, because it affects everything, and I want to know your view. I've been trying to talk to you privately. You're so busy. What do you make? Because we just, you know, it's a federal judge. I thought they can't all be corrupt. He hasn't done me any favors. He just followed the law so far, but he excoriated them at that last hearing 6-7 weeks ago. What do you think they're going to try now? Because now I've seen the document. They're going to try to file the liquidation that if they're able to buy it, which they've said to shut it down, they say they have a big buyer, that that they want the IP to say they own. They say they own the Alex Jones Show and Real Alex Jones on X. All the case law says they don't. That's going to fail. But they literally want my identity again. And they said in the news, we don't want him on air. That's our goal. So it's so naked. So what do you think they thought of this federal judge not following their orders? I mean, they tried to shut me down outside the federal judge's order, and he stopped them. I mean, that's wild. A U.S. trustee can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to keep going. They didn't expect the public reaction. They thought the public would abandon you, would buy into the smears, would buy into the censorship campaign. They explicitly said after the Connecticut verdict, their goal was to get your audience to abandon you. Because that didn't happen, they've been scrambling ever since. And what it reflects and represents is what their intention has always been. Now, I still think it reveals an ongoing conflict of interest between the lawyers and their clients, because I don't think they've been fully honest and forthcoming with their clients. That there's two, what the bankruptcy court is supposed to ethically and professionally do is to maximize the value of the estate. That is to protect and expand and improve InfoWars. But what they want is exactly the opposite of that. They want the death of InfoWars. But the death of InfoWars means their clients don't recover a penny, nickel, dime, or dollar.
And let me back you up on that. At mediation in a federal courthouse with a federal judge months ago, right before this, I guess it'd be like 12 weeks ago, in Fort Worth, and the judge got mad at him there. And I can only talk about it because they went public with it themselves. They came back, we want to control your speech, we agree to that, and we want $70 million. And I said, I'll never make $70 million over 10 years, but I will agree to this just to keep us on air, and then you know later make another deal when it's clear I don't have that money, because I told my lawyers, I said, watch, let's agree to $70 million, and they're going to suddenly say a number higher. We go in, no, now we want $90 million. And I said, see what I'm talking about? And then that's what happened. I mean, can you believe that, Robert?
No doubt about it. I mean, and now their new objective is to try to use this case to seize people's identities. And that's what they're doing. Your identity is inalienable. You can market it, you can license it, but you can't give it away. It can't be taken away from you. But that's what they're trying to do. They're claiming that through bankruptcy
That's slavery. Stay there. Do a little bit more with us in about 15 minutes, and then we're going to have Jadar take over. But give us how people find your great podcast and show.
VivaBarnesLaw.locals.com.
All right, stay there. Do 15 more minutes with me, and then the great Jadar. Let's get into this identity theft, which is their next move. By the way, I talked about this 2 days ago and posted it on X, and I saw... I love reading comments. I read about 100 comments real fast. And I saw 4 or 5 from pretty prominent accounts saying, you're making it up, Alex Jones. The Sandy Hook families, they're really represented by the deep state. It's on record now. They don't want your identity. They don't want your social media. That's ridiculous. In the report, I show Reuters AP with the exact headline, Sandy Hook families want court to take Alex Jones's real Alex Jones and other social media. I mean, that was in the court. As a filing, there it is, Reuters. Sandy Hook families want to seize Alex Jones' social media accounts. So I remember 6 years ago when they were deplatforming me. At first they said, no one's deplatforming him, no one's censoring him. Then they go, yeah, we did, it's good. He should be totally banned. Take his bank accounts away as well and throw him in jail. So the left has this totalitarian problem where they don't even want their own constituents to know how dangerous this is, Robert. So we're talking about the stealing of identity. They are now filing. I was in a meeting yesterday, saw the documents. That they're going to do it again on this hearing coming up on the 11th and then the one on the 24th in Houston, Texas, at Judge Lopez's chambers or courtroom. Giving you intel, what your take on this. And they say, we also want the name Alex Jones. I mean, this is like asking for the moon. And you explain it in law to people. Some of my lawyers, I looked it up. Even ChatGPT says it's unheard of. Why would they shoot for the moon like that?
Well, if the goal is to continue to use this case to set perilous precedent. To say that they can, because somebody can license the use of their name, the new novel claim is they can take and own your name against your will, own your identity against your will, have the exclusive right to the use of your identity. Basically, it would not only be censoring and suppressing your speech, but being able to steal your identity to put out fake news and information, right? Like they could have Alex Jones endorsing Kamala Harris, right? They could have Alex Jones attacking Donald Trump, they could do that.
And they could have AI do it, and it could even be look just like me. They could deep fake me.
Exactly. In fact, they're going a step further legally. They're claiming they could basically make you a chattel slave and be obligated to deliver whatever news messages they require. Because if you look at underneath the hood legally, they're claiming to own your identity, but also to own anything you say publicly, which means they could dictate what you say publicly. I mean, it. to make you basically chattel. I mean, it's like
that's what I was going to say before the break, and you stole my thunder. This is slavery.
That's exactly what it is. That's what it is. They believe through the bankruptcy estate that they now can own the person subject to that estate. They can own all public versions of that person, all public representations of that person.
So this is an overthrow of bankruptcy law and back to debtors' prisons in England.
That's exactly what it is. That's precisely what it is. It's a return to old peonage laws. And that's what they've wanted to reinstate this in one way, shape, or form. It's what the vaccines are about. It's what a whole bunch of things are about. If they own your body, it's what food freedom is about. If they control what food you're allowed to eat, they control your body, they control you. They decide what medicine goes into your body. If they own your body, they own you. And if they could own your estate to such a degree they own you, all public representations of you, all public versions of you, all public statements of you, all public accounts of you, then they own you. And that's their goal. They want everybody to be reduced to chattel.
And folks, we're not joking. We're not exaggerating. I've already got trademark copyright free speech lawyers working on this, but can you talk to me soon? And can you send me some case law and like give me one page brief on this, please?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, because there's good legal theory out there that this is inalienable. So some good constitutional lawyers about a decade ago saw where this was going, where they were coming up with these ideas, these dangerous ideas in the corporate legal world. It's like how you flag things by reading the white papers. I flag things by reading these legal reports. And so there's good scholarship that what your image, your public image is inalienable. What does the Declaration of Independence talk about? What's the beginning of it? Inalienable rights. These are rights that you cannot alienate from yourself. You cannot be stolen because you own you, not the government, not a corporation, not anybody else. This is still America.
And then by extension, they didn't live up to it then, but within the next 100 years, they did end the slavery based on that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what Lincoln's great speech at Gettysburg is about. It was time to restore and fulfill the American constitutional promise. And they're trying to strip it from us, and they're using your cases as the template to do so.
They're trying to cut our sons' penises off and our daughters' breasts off. We've got breaking news on that coming up straight ahead. 10 weeks ago, an agent of the Justice Department, outside of law, ordered my doors closed, and I said no. Weeks later, a judge fired him. These people are wild, and they'll do anything. And it is a vigilanteism throughout the government against the people, and we got to stand against them. I want to hit one more story, and then get a quick take from Robert Barnes, great constitutional lawyer, very popular talk show host, an amazing historian, an old school hand of the world, as the Highwayman would say in that great song, Desperado's Waiting for a Train. We now have it revealed, mainstream news revealed, Georgia school shooter Colt Gray was bullied for being gay. Just like the last 7 mass shooters have been trans, girl to boy, boy to girl, and they were mad, told to be angry, put on SSRIs, and he made threats. The FBI was following for a year and a half, but political correction didn't do anything to him. Georgia school shooter Colt Gray, Daily Mail reports, was bullied by classmates who called him gay. His father told detectives in an interview last year. He's now been charged with multiple counts of manslaughter for letting him have the gun. Colin Gray, 54, made the claims when he was interviewed by the Jackson County Sheriff's Office after the FBI received a tip that the son had threatened a shooting at his middle school. They had cops at the school, but nothing was done, just like Uvalde. It was very difficult for him to go to school and not get picked on, Colin Gray told an investigator, according to transcript of the conversation obtained by the Daily Mail. So he went and, I guess, found the people, 2 students, a coach, and a teacher. The father added, it went from one thing to another. I was trying to get him on the golf course, the golf team. They were like, okay, look, Colt's gay. He's dating that guy. Just ridiculed him day after day. Oh, so more leftists killing people. Meanwhile, Nashville transgender shooter Aubrey Hale's manifesto released. They suppressed it for over a year. Wanted to kill Christians because they didn't support her becoming a boy. So this is the majority of them doing this, and it only appears to get worse. They said they're going to have their trans day of rage, their gay day of rage. And I guess that's perfect. Leftists go out and kill innocent people. Then Kamala Harris tries to take our guns, and she's pledged to ban all semi-automatics. Your take on that, Robert, and then big picture on the Trump campaign.
Well, I think it reveals the necessity of the Trump-Kennedy alliance, because even Kennedy, well, you know, longtime gun control guy, has shifted his position on school shootings. He said it's clear that school shootings are being caused by issues other than access to guns. He goes that there's something wrong with how we're treating our children. And it's part of a broader process. They're contaminating and poisoning our children in terms of the food they get. They're contaminating and poisoning our children in terms of the vaccines and medicines that they're forced to take. And now they've been poisoning and contaminating our children in terms of the ideas they fill their heads with, whether it's in Hollywood. I mean, this goes back to right after Sandy Hook happened. When you talked about it, you identified the problem is what Hollywood is doing to these kids. The problem is what the psychologists are doing to these kids, put them on all these selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors that have these extraordinarily dangerous side effects, like homicidal and suicidal activities related to how they're neurologically screwing with kids' brains. That, you know, all of these issues that the common culture was pushing this down on all of us. And you know, a decade later, that's what we're still seeing. And we're still seeing the consequences of it. The media deliberately highlights and high profiles these school shootings, though they know that is the main trigger for more school shootings to occur in the future, because they want them to occur to support their political narrative. But what it reflects is the complete poisoning of our children. And great credit to Trump, great credit to Kennedy to say, as Nicole Shanahan did it in her Kennedy ad for Bobby to finish the job that John and his father were trying 60 years ago, that's what we need. We need to purge the government of these corrupt administrative bureaucracies that have been in bed with big business, big food, big ag, big pharma, big tech, to big media, to ruin our children. Every time a school shooting happens, it's a sign of what these big entities have done to our
country. They know exactly what they're doing. They know that it creates copycats. It's a science. And now you have Robert F. Kennedy Jr. coming out saying there will be a reckoning with all the deep state groups. And he put out an email and statement yesterday fully endorsing Trump, saying because they won't take him off the ballot in some of these battlegrounds, everybody in all states should vote for Trump. Few minutes on the campaign, on Trump, 59 days, 58 days left. What you expect the deep state to do, what we can do to get him in.
Yeah, I mean, the key is for people to stay active, stay conscientious, don't get blackpilled, don't become a doomer. They need you to believe your vote doesn't count. As I always like to say, the devil's greatest trick is convincing people he doesn't exist. The greatest trick the system ever pulls is convincing you you can't resist. Use how Alex has handled all the Sandy Hook litigation, all the Russiagate nonsense, all the attempts to come after him. Be like Dylan Thomas told his father. Don't rage against the dying of the light. Don't just die easily in the night. So don't be a doomer. Don't be one of those people who thinks you can't change things. Don't be one of those people who think, they're going to fix the election no matter what we do, because that's what they want you to believe. The only way they are guaranteed to win is if you don't try. And so no matter how difficult the odds may seem, no matter how powerful they may appear to be or may actually be, if you believe, that's the only way the world changes. And that's what Donald Trump talked about, Art of the Deal, that I used to read as a kid. And it was, you plan for the contingencies, but you expect the best, because that's the only way the best happens. So if you continue to believe in America, continue to support InfoWars, continue to support independent sources of information, continue to get independent, get outside of the big tech, big media, big ag, big pharma, control grid, live a little bit more like the Amish do and stay away from that control grid, and engage the American public process and political process and participate in a meaningful way, then we can overcome all the odds, because Trump has perfectly organized the campaign. He's now with Robert Kennedy on public health, Tulsi Gabbard on national security, Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy on the administrative state. So he is aligned. He has said he understands the mistakes that he made in his first term at trusting the establishment to be fair and decent, and that he ain't going to repeat that mistake a second time. The moment they tried to kill him was the moment the worm turned and is now carrying a political Uzi. And it's going to change the way in which the entire trajectory of this country can go.
And that was the big tell. We're about to close here. I have one more clip I want to play, and then we're going to hand the baton to Jay Dyer. All their fake polls that she's way ahead, all that's been proven to be crap. They're paying for it. Fake news stories everywhere. All over the major newspapers, all over Google, all over Yahoo. They can't even hide it. When they tried to kill him on July 13th, it showed that they know they don't have enough dead people, enough folks out of district, enough in Zuckerberg's database to do it again. Zuckerberg coming out and throwing in the towel, falling on his sword, that was another big bellwether, wasn't it?
No doubt. In fact, you see it with people like Bill Ackman. I mean, a lot of these big tech people, billionaire people, are publicly siding up with Trump. I mean, Elon is doubling down and tripling down on all of this. So, I mean, the bottom line is they antagonize the wrong people. and enough people recognize how critical this election is to the future trajectory of the country. And Trump is aligned on the critical principles and precepts of populist causes to be the best president America has ever had and ever will have. And that's the key to this upcoming election. So don't let anything distract or detract from that objective. Don't let any doomerism do it. Don't let anything else do it. That the just march forward, stick with your beliefs, stick with your ideas, stick with your action, and manifest it in your day-to-day
life. And share our videos and articles and your live show and your archives, and just share everybody they're attacking. Anybody they're attacking, Tucker Carlson, Benny Johnson, all just support Joe Rogan's hitting on all cylinders. They killed us on purpose with the shots. They're covering up. The shots are killing everybody. It's on purpose. He's now becoming purely hardcore. And then it becomes totally mainstream. He's a bellwether, and we win. I want to play this clip of Congressman Massey with Shanahan, his VP, RFK's VP, saying something key that I want Barnes to close on here. And Trump's already doing it. He's not going to be fooled this time and bring in a bunch of deep staters because, quote, they're the best. And like Reagan thought, oh, I'll bring in, you know, my opposition because, you know, now they're going to work on my team. And they shot him. The Reagan movie, by the way, is excellent, very historical. And he really was that good of a goody two-shoes. He made a lot of mistakes, too, like with the vaccines, the rest of it, just like Trump. But Trump's even moving away from that now. But the key is keeping the backstabbers out. Here's the clip.
Where Trump messed up in his first term was he picked some bad help. Yeah. I mean, John Bolton, come on. What were you thinking? Okay. We say this in Congress, right? Yeah. Like, staff is policy. I joke that I don't want all the same ideology in my office because you would, you know, you need to have arguments inside the office. So half of my people are Ron Paul people and the other half are Rand Paul people. And they argue all the time. So we're very diverse ideologically in my office. But
that's a funny vision.
Yeah. But in Trump's administration, it's going to be so critical. If he picks, if he picks John Bolton's, you're going to get warmed over neocon, you know, policy. And but if he picks, I don't want to pick for him, but there are lots of good picks out there for different things.
There really are. That's the thing that I think I'm so excited about is broadening the spectrum of who can both bring that qualified voice, but is going to be fresh and not conflicted.
A populist unification party to make America great and safe and the apple of the world's eye again. In closing, give us a quick rundown of who you put in what positions in the cabinet, Robert Barnes.
Well, I think it's smart to have Robert Kennedy be sort of a roving commissioner, so he doesn't have to go through, get Senate approval, but have him in charge of commissions of proving the great deep state, deepest crimes, and concerning the assassination of his father and his uncle, but also a commission on public health, and let people like him and Tulsi Gabbard and J.D. Vance and Thomas Massie and Rand Paul advise as to those critical positions of cabinet roles, because they know who the good actors are and the bad actors are, who the white hats are and the black hats are. Thomas Massie, for example, would make a fantastic Secretary of Agriculture. He could completely, this is an actual farmer, for crying out loud. It'd be nice to have a real farmer, not a big corporate farmer. Remember, Sonny Perdue was there. That guy was Boss Hog, but just retarded. You know, the same way Joe Biden was LBJ, just but retarded. I mean, that's who Sonny Perdue was. I had to deal with him in the nonsense of the Georgia election, 2020. But the appoint people that listen to them. And that's what Trump is saying. He's going to let J.D. Vance, Vivek Ramaswamy, Elon Musk, these people give him advice. He's going to put them in commissions of influence so they can make real directions about administrative policy so we can completely reform and
restructure. Let's talk about that. Elon Musk in a non-paid position on Government Efficiency Bureau, I mean, which will then recommend which agencies to say bye-bye, which agencies to cut. I mean, Trump is really signaling everything, and he's actually doing it. You're right. After they tried to kill him, he was already getting better, but he like accelerated at light speed into woo. But hey, we can't. 50 something days. They're really going to try to kill him now, Robert.
Yeah, we just have to be aware, be conscientious, be conscious, call it out whenever we see it. I mean, look at what happened. You call out everything that's happening to this criminal sentencing, you expose it for what it is, and the judge postpones it until after Election Day. So if American people stay active, that's the key. I mean, the American Revolution succeeded because ordinary people chose to make it succeed.
Bingo.
You can make the second revolution succeed by you choosing to make it succeed, by following the peaceful democratic constitutional processes that our founding fathers established. Follow those. Don't be deterred, and we can prevail.
But you got to realize you're in the middle of the second American Revolution. Robert Barnes, how people find your fabulous program with Viva Fry?
Everything at Viva Barnes Law. www.locals.com.
Or just search your name on X. Robert, talk to you soon. Thanks for the time. Amazing interview.
Glad to be here.
All right, I appreciate the mighty Jay Dyer. I love having him on every Friday. Sorry I took so much time. He understands I do that occasionally. But let me just do this real quick, and then I hand the baton to Jay Dyer. I want to have him on as a guest very, very soon. Ladies and gentlemen, I need your support, plus I have great products. Go to drjonesnaturals.com. drjonesnaturals.com for amazing supplements, super high-quality nano-silver products, the highest-quality colloidal silver products at the lowest prices you're going to find. Next Level Foundational Energy is not a traditional stimulant, but it has that effect with no letdown. It's incredible. Believe me, you want to get Next Level Foundational Energy at drjonesnaturals.com. Just drjonesnaturals.com. That is outside of InfoWars. If they shut us down, that's his company. He's going to be a big sponsor. It is critical that you support drjonesnaturals.com, plus their amazing products. We have all the great InfoWars MD products like the gummies and the 1,000-milligram tincture. They're so good for inflammation and your focus and just being calm. So amazing. That's at InfoWarsStore.com. The nitric boost is 40% off. So is the 1,000-milligram vitamin C with rosehips and zinc that's so good for everything in your body. That sale ends next week. So the vitamin C, 1,000-milligram, the nitric boost for your blood and cardiovascular system and everything to counter what's happening. That's all at InfoWarsStore.com. That sale's about to end as well. There's some big sales about to end. We're about to sell out of, my dad's about to sell out of Next Level Foundational Energy at drjonesnaturals.com. Now, the incredible Jay Dyer and his amazing wife and fellow researcher take over now, and then Owen Schroyer in 40 minutes.
Welcome to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. Thank you, Alex. Glad to be here. Today, we're going to be talking about a couple subjects that you might not think are related, but in fact are related. And Jamie's done some really excellent research on that. We're going to talk about the trans agenda first, its origins in ancient pagan religions. And then we're going to talk about the somewhat forgotten topic, although many have heard of this, the architecture and symbolism of Washington, D.C. And you're going to find out that actually both of these topics overlap quite a bit. What do you want to start us with?
So I'm excited because I have two new shows on Rockfin, and the first one is called Goddess and Gala. Now, I didn't know if this word, the gala, came from these ancient cults, probably so, but the Met Gala begins or continues to be very interesting year after year with the costumes and the themes and everything. But let's go back to the Greco-Roman world, where they are having a competition between Christianity and paganism, and this cult keeps butting heads with the new Christian religion. And this cult is called the Galli. It's called G-A-L-L-I, Galli, right? So some historians say in their very temples can be seen deplorable mockery before a moaning crowd, men taking the part of women, revealing with boastful ostentation the impure and unchaste bodies. They broadcast their crimes and confess with superlative delight the stain of their polluted bodies. So what we are going to be talking about is, like, what does goddess worship have in common with welfare, self-mutilation, specifically castration, divination, prostitution, systematic prostitution, communism, pride parades, music, and Skittles. So all these things.
All of that in the ancient world. Which
yes.
Yes, you heard it right. Welfare.
Yeah.
If you sterilize yourself and join a prostitution cult, you'll be given a welfare ticket.
Well, most of these cults in the Greco-Roman era were devoted to the goddess Cybele and Attis, who actually, Cybele was a mother goddess. She was born a hermaphrodite, and the other gods actually castrated her because they feared her power being two sexes. So that's a very interesting story of the ancient world. And, of course, her consort was Attis, who also self-castrated himself because he did not want to marry her because she was a mother to him of sorts. And this is also where you get the stories of King Midas, who tried to help out Attis by giving him a wife, but Cybele messed it up and they had to both castrate themselves.
Well, it seems like a lot of these cults are really focused on control of sexual reproduction, which ties into today's Malthusian movement, antinatalism, depopulation. It's all about the same stuff today.
Right. So these mystery religions, they were one of early Christianity's major rivals. And other reports from historians say they wear effeminately nursed hair and dress in soft clothes. They can barely hold their heads up on their limp necks. Then, having made themselves alien to masculinity, swept up by playing flutes, they call their goddess to fill them with an unholy spirit so as to seemingly predict the future to idle men. So here we are getting the first
so like RuPaul's Drag Race in the ancient world.
Miss Cleo. Yes. So they would go through the streets and alleys of Carthage, exacting from merchants that by which they might shamefully live. So begging, acts of prostitution, that kind of stuff. They were part of the official Roman state religion with manifestations in every part of the Greco-Roman world and every level of society. So they weren't a fringe group. They were a officially recognized religion.
So the state wants this, by the way. That's the thing. It's like the state benefits from having these controllable, castrated groups that they can manipulate and use, keep them on. They're on the dole, even in the ancient world, which is crazy because I'm not saying every trans person today is on the dole or whatever, but the idea is that it usually goes together with controlling you through your base desires, you being on some form of, you know, state income, then you're a completely bought and paid for.
Right. So this paper that I talk about on Rockfin, it's called Priests of the Goddess, Gender Transgression in Ancient Religion. It's a Stanford University by Will Roscoe. And they are contrasting three goddesses of the ancient world. And this is going to make sense more when we talk about secret architecture of D.C. and how Washington, D.C. was actually designed to be the body of a goddess and to house a goddess. So.
Now, that's an academic book, right? It's not a conspiracy book, right? So these aren't conspiracy books. These are both academic sources that she's been researching.
This is The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital, The Masons and the Building of Washington, D.C. by David Ovison.
It's not a conspiracy book
at all. So the three goddesses that they focus on in this academic paper are Sibyl, Inanna in Sumeria, which we talk about a lot in our live talks, and the Hijra of contemporary India and Pakistan.
I think this is relevant too for today, because even though in the ancient world they always connected the religion and sexuality and all of that to human control and the state, even though we think about that as not part of the state today, or that religion is divided from the state, actually the state has its own cult, its own religion. And particularly, they really find these types of goddess, feminist, new age spiritualities very useful precisely for this purpose. Again, as Aldous Huxley said, of creating a future new world religion, H.G. Wells says the same thing, to control people, to make them part of ultimately that technocratic beast system.
Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about here with syncretism of the goddess is a form of soft pantheism where lots of goddesses meld and merge into other goddesses and myths of different times. So that's why he is contrasting these three and their devotees, especially worshiping by castration, right?
Yeah, I remember when I did a talk here on the fourth hour about a month or two ago, I covered the book, The Cambridge Companion to the Ancient Mysteries. And in that book, there was a chapter on the ancient mysteries and the Eleusinian cult and how ultimately that was also something that derived rotated around human reproduction and sexuality. So the sexual impulse is absolutely, totally what the system and the state, these ancient empires always saw as absolutely necessary to control. This goes back to Plato when he talked about how you had to control who can actually have children, who can reproduce in order to have this totally controlled, ideal technocratic society. Yes, that's actually from Plato.
Yeah, so what we're talking about here is a overarching goddess with 1,000 names, they call her in the Secret Architecture book. But in Anatolia, she was called Kybele, Rhea, Mater Theon, Magna Mater, and Sibyl, but always depicted with a consistent iconography. So around 500 BC, one of these Gali priests came to Rome, and they stoned them and they wouldn't allow them, but all these terrible things started happening, so they got superstitious and they started allowing these cults to have some kind of foothold because of natural disasters happening when they would try and get rid of them. So this religion of Sibyl came to Rome in about 204 BC, and the Roman Senate responding to oracles, they said, imported the goddess, or rather the black meteorite lump said to represent her. Now, what does that remind you of?
Mecca.
Yes.
So hold that. We are the Alex Jones Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back in a second. Welcome back to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Jay Dyer. Jay's Analysis with my beautiful wife, Jamie. And I want to remind you that I will be at a live event if you're in the Florida area, October 25th and 26th. It's a massive, mega two-day live stream comedy podcast event. We'll have a lot of speakers, a lot of stand-ups, a lot of people from the libertarian sphere. Leonardo Joni will be there. We'll have Elijah Schaefer there. Many other people are coming. Nephilim Death Squad guys will be there. And if you head on over to my Twitter, X at the top, you can get the tickets there to the Bohemian Grove event. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be doing some comedic stuff. I will be performing some cringecore music live, which is sweeping the land. So go get those tickets. Also, if you are interested in our books, my wife and I have all of our books in the shop at jasonelsis.com. And if you head over there, you can get her book on Hollywood. You can get my book on esoteric theology, philosophy, Hollywood, all of that. All of my books are there, signed copies in the shop. So don't get them from Jeff Bezos, get them from us, and you get signed copies. Now, you were telling us about these different cults and the importance that the role of the goddess played in controlling the masses. And really, we're seeing the reemerge. It's not accidental that we're going into global government and it's the rise of the goddess ISIS religion. In fact, Madame Blavatsky, who we covered in several fourth hour streams in terms of her espionage background and history, her being very closely linked to the Milner, Fabian, Rothschild circles to spread the proto-New Age movement. I mean, she writes ISIS Unveiled. I just got an actual first edition of that two-volume set the other day. And it's very important, again, for understanding that the system, the establishment, even if you're thinking about something that's so-called scientific, like the Tavistock Institute, which is a big player in pushing this trans agenda for the last decade or so. I mean, Tavistock is very interested also in studying and crafting ideologies and religions and cults for the masses. So you think, well, they studied psychological warfare and propaganda and shell shock. Why would they study it? Because it's about control. That's why. So anything that has the power to have control over people's minds, things like religion, especially New Age feminist goddess cults, are very important for where we are going. So take it up where you left off.
So we were talking about the cobblestone that came to Rome with the goddess worshippers, and that is very close to what they have in Mecca right mm-hmm. now in the cornerstone of their, what is that called?
Well, it's like a relic for them. So
yeah. So this throws back to goddess worship in Mecca as well. So when Imperial Rome conquered, the large part of the Mediterranean world, the religion of Sibyl would follow. And these came to be known as the begging priests. And in the Golden Ass, they are portrayed as living in collectives, loosely attached to local temples from which they venture to prowl the streets and countryside, begging for alms and performing spectacular religious rites. And some of these involve self-harm. So do you want me to read this?
Well, I've read The Golden Ass, and they actually talk about their version of the Virgin Goddess. So they actually worship this Virgin Goddess, which is kind of a mimic of the idea of what Christianity has for the Blessed Virgin. But and as you note, in their cult, this is very different. This was like a mutilation cult.
Well, and not just that, it was a public mutilation cult. So the theater of self-harm, it says, the following day they went out, talking about the Gali, wearing various colored undergarments with turbans and saffron robes and linen garments thrown over them, and everyone hideously made up. Their faces crazy with muddy paints and their eyes artfully lined. Does this sound like what's
this
going
on? This sounds like a pride parade.
Yeah. Some wore white tunics fastened with belts with purple stripes in every direction like spears and yellow shoes on their feet. They put the goddess draped in a silk cloak on the back to carry, and with their arms buried the shoulders, hoisting enormous swords and battle axes, they left about shouting, raving in a religious dance to the singing of pipes. After wandering by a few small cottages, they arrived at some villas of landowners, and entering the first one, they immediately flew around every which way howling. For a long time, they would hang their heads down on their necks with quick twisting motions, whirl their hair hanging around in circles, and sometimes assail their flesh with bites. So they're just like going around in these mad mobs, begging for money, telling fortunes, what's that word? Advertising prostitution.
Well, it's and I mean, the castration that's involved is another extreme form of self-harm.
Yes. And he says, you could see by the cutting of the swords and the blows of the whips, the soil became wet and filthy with the blood of the effeminates. So what is the purpose of all of this? Now, they talk about in this paper that sensory disorder talking about religious rites around the world can create a liminal state of consciousness in which normal distinctions, including in some cases those of gender, are suspended, and this state is the prelude to subsequent reintegration. So in their mind, they are becoming one again in that mystical way before the fall.
Yeah, there's a notion of the original monad. This is a Neoplatonic doctrine. Neoplatonism is very influential in the trans stuff, even if they don't know about it in terms of philosophy. The whole idea of Baphomet having both of the genders. Kabbalistic teaching also has in some of its schools and segments this idea that God was bisexual. Adam Kadmon was bisexual. So a lot of the esoteric Hermetic schools, Plato as well, said that the original deity, the original thing, God thing, to use the Biden terminology, Biden's worldview, the God thing was originally this, bisexual thing. And so to return to a non-binary state or to, mutilate yourself is somehow some sacramental religious action of getting closer to the original monad. Now, all of this is obviously gibberish, but it's interesting when you have this esoteric mystical view, how different it is from, what's in Genesis, where man and woman are created obviously biologically and in terms of gender distinct in the beginning. It's the fall into, it's not a fall into sexuality as some people have thought within history to make biology and sexuality bad. So the idea is that in order to save man and to save humanity, you have to transgress all boundaries as if boundaries themselves are the problem. But that's actually the ideology here, is that all boundaries, whether national, whether international, whether social, biological, sexual, everything must be transgressed. All boundaries must be removed to create the ultimate blob that we're all going into.
Yes, so undoubtedly the most shocking practice back then that was attributed to these cults, the Gali in particular, was self-castration. And then they talk about Carl Jung and his comments on the figure of the androgynous person as a projection of a longing for return to the primordial unity.
Exactly what I'm saying. About. That's the Gnostic Neoplatonic idea, and I know that they have differences between them, but ultimately the idea is we have to return, escape the body, and go back to the one in some way. And I just read, by the way, keep in mind, he was Agent 488 in the OSS. Carl Jung was a spy. He wasn't just a psychoanalyst. He was also working for the Allied forces as a spy and operative. But the Nashville shooters manifesto was recently released, and I read several pages of that last night doing some research for this. And you'll notice the same patterns in the way that that individual spoke as well, that they, on the one hand, hated their body and their identity. They felt that they were dissociated from what they were born with, and that if they adopted this other identity and this other physical manifestation, they would be happy. But of course, in every manifestation, in the way this person described it in her journal, and she had drawn all these different sort of alternate personalities within another personality. I don't know if this person was MPDD or DID, but the way that she describes herself and draws herself in the diary seemed to give that impression as if she's like a Russian doll of personas within personas. Mm. And so in the same way, there's this worship of the body and pleasure at the same time as hating the body and wanting to leave it. So there's this weird duality where these people, I think, constantly flip back and forth between worshiping themselves and the body and the passions, and then also hating it and wanting to destroy it, which is demonic, I think, at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. So for natural-born hermaphrodites, also in the ancient world, they were seen as some kind of a portent of something super good or super bad. So what would that translate to?
So like Jonah Hill is coming and yeah. McLovin, yeah. Something super bad.
So they were marvels, monsters, prodigies, and signs. Now I'm talking about natural-born hermaphrodites, not the self-made ones like the Gali. But these people, they were also thought of as neither male nor female, occupied simultaneously social and supernatural planes and both poles of the moral continuum. So they were like what we talk about with the idea of the magician above the checkerboard floor. They transcended good and evil because they were neither male or female.
You mean like in a Masonic lodge, yes, or in a black lodge, yes, or something like that?
Yeah. Okay. So the Gali were widely assumed to be sexually active with other men. And this also goes along with the temple prostitution, male temple prostitution. And since the homosexual practices were for the receptive partner considered androgenizing, the sexual activity of the Gali served to overdetermine their status as androgynous. So bottoms were androgynous and tops not so much.
Golly.
Gorsh.
It makes it, I mean, wasn't that guy gay? The guy that was always saying golly. And I think, is he in, what's the show with Ron Howard?
Happy Days?
Oh, when he was a kid.
Oh.
Andy Griffith.
Yeah.
Wasn't that guy gay?
I don't
Jim
know.
Neighbors.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he wasn't saying golly. I don't know.
So here we have Christianity and paganism, or the worship of Sibyl, clashing in some cities. They were fighting in the streets when the festivals of the two religions coincided, as they often did in the spring. So the Christian fathers found it necessary to pass canon laws against the practice of self-castration by fanatical ascetics who would do it in the name of Christianity because they had learned it from these cults. So yeah, it became a canon that you do not do that.
Keep in mind that this is why the church, in one respect, not just his theology, but Origen is condemned as a heretic. He's one of the most famous early church fathers who was anti-Trinitarian, but also he was a Neoplatonist who had very similar views to this. He actually castrated himself, and that's one of the reasons why he was excommunicated. So Origen, who plays really centrally into early subversions of Christianity, is a great example of this. And again, he was a Neoplatonist who thought that ultimately the body was a prison. We got to return back to the monad, to the one. We've got to be reabsorbed into the collective.
Mm-hmm. So let's switch gears and go to India for a second, where they are worshiping the goddess called Bahuchara Mata. And this cult actually is a contemporary cult. They still exist, called the Hijra. And this paper is supposing that the roots may be as old or older than the Gali, going all the way back to Inanna of Sumeria, which is the end of this paper. So the Hijra are super welfare queens. They live in collectives with recognized leaders like gurus. They enjoy acknowledged begging rights. Their primary religious function is to appear at weddings and childbirth to call down the blessings of the goddess.
But the people are retarded.
Yes.
As Osho says, right?
The people.
Democracy is devoid of the people.
Yeah.
Okay. So these public performances of the Hijra share several features with the rites of the Gali, including loud rhythmic music, flutes, drums, wild dancing, and body behavior. Also, to earn a livelihood through institutionalized begging and prostitution. The most striking parallel they talk about is...
So they're just like ancient rave festival bros.
Like,
this sounds like an
ancient communist goddess.
But everybody who goes to like a festival would believe in socialism, so...
That's true. So again, these practice castration. In both cases, the procedure appears to have been traditionally performed in a temple with parts buried under a tree. And this is also hearkening back to Osiris.
I was going
to
say, this sounds like Osiris because he also has the John Bobbitt scenario going on.
Exactly. So in the case of the Hijra, both the penis and testicles are removed by an expert. While the initiate chants the name of the mother goddess, the blood is allowed to flow freely in the belief that it drains away the heat that is a source of both maleness and sexual desire. So they're getting rid of their tea. They want the low tea.
Testosterone.
Yes. Yeah. As a result, the initiate is in nirvana. He is liberated or reborn and becomes a sannyasi, or a saint who embodies the strength of the goddess. So again, it does not transform the Hijra into women. They are neither men nor women, but they do exaggerate their femininity because they are men, and they do the body public behavior.
Body.
Body. Yeah.
Okay.
So the response to these people, when you see them, they say it hovers between fear and awe. Failure to respond to the request for alms might cause them to utter a fearful curse, or worse, to lift their saris to reveal the scars of the operation that made them holy, an act certain to doom to the viewer, to doom the viewer to calamity. So how many times have you seen this crazy stuff in like a pride parade or something like that? So you have been cursed.
So it's a ritual action there, basically.
So them showing that to you is cursing you.
Mm.
Right? Addis to, he is
the curse of the junk, is that what you're saying?
Curse of the missing junk.
Curse of the junk.
Yeah.
Or the non-junk, negative junk.
Yes. Curse of the Kindle. Okay, so Addis, yes, he was castrated. And now let's go to Sumeria, where we talk about Inanna, one of the oldest goddesses. Her priests were called Gala, G-A-L-A. And in their hymns, they both praised and pleaded with the gods for their goodwill. Their job was to be the temple musicians and continuously sing liturgies and lamentations to Inanna. According to the Babylonian text, Enki created the Gala especially to sing heart-soothing laments for the goddess Inanna. The office of chief Gala was one of the highest officials in the city. Now, this is even older. This is like Babylon, Uruk, times. Mm-hmm. Old timey times. Anunnaki times. So they were the temple choir, basically, for the Anunnaki. The Gala had a role in supervising some of the female personnel referred to by modern scholars as temple prostitutes. So this is the holy prostitute again. Their roles involved the gender transgression. Also, homosexuality was more than implied. The name or the word for Gala was written using the cuneiform signs for penis plus anus.
Penis.
Yes. So the penis of Anunnaki.
This is rated R all of a sudden. So.
Sorry.
This is what they're pushing. I mean, so
this is where we get,
this is what they're doing.
The Met Gala. This is where we get pride parades. This is where we get divination, astrology, tarot.
Their ancient religious processions. Their state-funded religious processions from the ancient world.
So they would go around portraying the goddess in ritual by wearing masks and cross-dressing. Now we're talking about Inanna in Sumeria. The proceedings strikingly similar to those of the Gali of Greco-Roman era, involving the brandishing of swords, knives, and clubs, and perhaps bloodletting performed in a trance state. So
this is like the prophets of Baal and Elijah, too.
Exactly. They were also known for their prominence in crisis rites. So this is an interesting thing of antiquity. So if you did not know what was going to happen in the cosmos, like an eclipse, for example, and the priestcraft did know, they could say this is the god coming at a certain time. We need to appease him with some sacrifices. And then you would just have to go along because you didn't know that these were naturally occurring phenomenons, right?
Yeah, like an Apocalypto, yes. Mel Gibson movie. Yeah.
So things like lunar eclipses and stuff, they were called out to dissolve the evil, right? So now you've got at the time of the birth of Christ, you've got the Gali missionizing the Roman Empire. You've got the Assyrians still doing this. The Gala of Mesopotamia still are a thing. Okay. And then to complete the picture, they have the eunuch priests of Artemis at Ephesus. They also have male temple prostitutes.
The Gala.
That's what I'm saying. Right?
That one was too easy.
Okay. So all these roles share the traits of devotion to a goddess, gender transgression, homosexuality, and ecstatic ritual techniques. So losing your mind, sex, drugs, rock and roll, anything.
That's to the rave,
tune
yeah.
in, drop out. What is that? How does it go? Tune in, turn on, drop out, or whatever. Yeah.
Turn off.
So we tune in, turn off, drop out. Sibyl, Bahuchara, Mata, and Inanna Ishtar, all three are credited with the power to inspire divine madness, which can include the transformation of gender.
Well, there's also the Bacchanalia in the ancient world, too, which was intentionally a descent into madness to reenact primordial chaos from which life and humanity and order supposedly spring. So, in other words, man isn't an intentional creation. It's kind of an accident. And so to celebrate the chaos at Bacchanalia and other events, men would dress up like women, mm-hmm. women would act like men. And so there's always this transgression of the established, natural borders and delineations which is seen as a ritual action to enact primordial chaos on purpose.
Right. So all of these transgress patriarchal roles and structures. The influence of these goddesses, they talk about how they're often as destructive as beneficial. So it's not like this mother goddess that is altruistic. It is a dual destruction and creation goddess.
Yes.
So to destroy, to build up, to tear out, and to settle are yours, Inanna. This is an ancient poem. Sumerian text says, in the next line, to turn a man into a woman and a woman into a man are yours, Inanna.
Right now, I gotta hear how we're gonna get to.
We're gonna have to do a part two.
We have to do a part two
because we're almost done with this paper. So, the three cultural regions, goddess-inspired priests were conceptualized as occupying a distinct gender category, so neither man nor woman. In the Sumerian creation myth, they talk about how the creator fashioned seven types of physically challenged persons, including the woman who cannot give birth and the one who has no male organ or no female organ. And then the god Enki has to find an occupation.
Well, it's always uggos that lead these movements. I mean, like Tristan did a live stream last night, our friend on YouTube. Shout out to Tristan Haggard. He did a whole live stream on polyamorous and polycule relationships. And it's literally like all just total uggos that run that do this stuff.
And it's the frequent reference to priests of the goddess as eunuchs or impotent, and not just because they were so overcome. It's because they have 14 different categories of impotent men, including those naturally impotent men who have castrated themselves, those who are cursed by a supernatural curse, or those afflicted by jealousy, those who spill their seeds, so coomers, and those who are shy, so incels. So they're actually having to find a place in society for these men who cannot do the patriarchal thing of being part of society, having a family, having a job, being a provider, those type of typical
patriarchal roles. They're essentially trans and incel individuals in the ancient world on the dole.
Yes, and they are tied to the idea of liberty or being liberated from the patriarchy, because being a man is too hard. So
they're liberated from responsibility.
Yes. So they're liberated what they call the reign of the phallus, and the self-emasculation is a fantasy of escape from irreconcilable tensions, rendering oneself incapable of fulfilling social or sexual demands of the patriarchal male.
One thing this shows, again, for those that are listening, you're wondering, what does this have to do with anything? Look, the social engineers and the technocrats, this is an academic paper showing that they've studied the ancient world and how societies were ruled and controlled in the ancient world, and they just utilize all those same principles, techniques, and practices today. They just regurgitate, rehash everything. So that's why this is so relevant for now.
Right. So from the perspective of someone who experiences the demands on their masculinity as unwanted, they could castrate themselves and go into nirvana or liberation, right? And this is the liberation of responsibility, because the possession of a working phallus was identified with masculinity.
It's the phallus liberation front.
Yes.
They're going to liberate everybody from the phallus.
Well,
which is what the feminists say today. They're basically the penis liberation front.
A working phallus was associated with masculine agency, citizenship. And so to cut this off was a statement of indifference towards the responsibility of being a man citizen, right? So we were talking about Osiris's broken phallus. When they do this, they can serve as vehicles for the transmission of the sexual energy of the goddess. They become her phallus, as it were, erotic aesthetics. So that is this paper, Priests of the Goddess, Gender Transgression in Ancient Religion, by Will Roscoe for Stanford University. And then next week...
Now, keep in mind, Stanford Research Institute is where we get all the remote viewing, all the occult studies. That's when the government was in the 1960s and especially the 70s studying the occult, trying to master those techniques. This is where we get Menusteric Goats. All of that stuff comes out of SRI, a Stargate project, the occult, the gateway process. All of that comes out of SRI, Stanford Research. So that's also a big sort of adjacent to MKUltra studies. They produced the famous Changing Images of Man, which is another famous white paper about how we're going to go into a completely different world. Did you want to leave us with something?
Yeah, so I guess we'll have to have a part two next week. We'll go into all of that blubber about how Washington, D.C. was built to house a goddess, a particular goddess. We'll save that for next week, and be her body and live inside of her.
Well, you can follow Jamie on YouTube, Jamie Hanshaw, and on Rockfin as well. Follow me on X, Jay Dyer. And this is the Alex Jones Show. Go to the InfoWars store and get those products.